Proper Sport at 6. You won't miss a minute, whether they matter or not.
Fire it, he's going to dummy, he's going to
win! Yes!
Curry's over the line. No, he isn't. He's lost the ball.
It's off.
He's off.
He's gone.
Go on, Johnson.
This is the home of full match commentary. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
Good evening and welcome. No rest for the wicked on Bank Holiday Monday. 2 hours live rugby league chat, as always, each and every Monday night right here on Radio Yorkshire. As always, we're going to be looking back at the week gone by. Well, FC, double winners at Wembley now. Mark Snead, double Lance Todd winner. I think there's going to be a few people tonight hoping Scoey's going to get some hammer. Well, he's making the tease at the moment. He has just strolled in looking nice and summery as always. We'll get his opinion on the big game. We saw him often enough on the telly. He might as well have been playing. The BBC coverage was fantastic. That's according to a BBC employee who writes for the League Express. Matt Shaw, hope you're well. I'm going to do a review of the Radio Yorkshire coverage later. Thought it was absolutely wonderful on Saturday afternoon as I was listening down at the City Ground. But what about the crowd? 65,000? Happy? Not happy? How do we get more in? Do we need not to be going up against Premier League football on a Saturday and every other football for that matter? Is that where the RFL can change things around? What about the game itself? Was it a cracker? I thought it was brilliant to watch. All the big winners. But what next for Wigan? Is that season over for them? Will Saints twist the knife this weekend? Or can the Warriors bounce back and keep their season alive? We look forward to all the games coming up this weekend as well, as the Super League and qualifiers are back. The Bradford Bulls beaten again this afternoon by the Batley Bulldogs. Swinton with a big, big win at Dewsbury. And Oldham beat the Hornets. 3 away wins in the Championship Shield this afternoon. Will the Eagles go to Toulouse and make it 4 away wins on the day? We'll find out. Leeds Hull live on Thursday night. Right here on Radio Yorkshire. Salford Wakey, what a big one that is on Friday night. And on Sunday, Featherstone against Hull KR. Will Rovers get within touching distance of the Super League? You know the drill by now, at RL on RY on Twitter. It's facebook.com/Radio Yorkshire if you want to get involved. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire. The only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Welcome back. Bank Holiday Monday. The boys are all in tandem again. You can get in touch on the Facebook Live. People already getting stuck in. Giving Sky some abuse, which is good.
I've not said no yet.
Well, exactly. Sometimes you don't need to say anything, do you?
Well, that boy's up, so.
Well, Scotty, people want us to give you a good hiding, but I know for a fact you had a few quid on Mark Snead to be man of the match at the weekend, so I guess you're the one that's laughing loudest today.
Absolutely, and yeah, good afternoon, boys. Had a good bank holiday, but I think last week, if everybody read the column, I said that the whole pack will dominate Wigan's. Wigan's pack don't dominate them, and Albert Kelly, the Maverick player, what he is, and then the kicking game, what Mark Snead has got, they're winning the game. And exactly, and I'm just looking at the headlines in the League Express from Lee Radford. Hull's kicking game was vital, and without a shadow of a doubt, yes, of course it was. And we know the tries, what the score from there. Snead has got the best kicking game in Super League from there, without a shadow of a doubt, head and shoulders above everybody else for the man of match from there. But again, only my question is, you know, again, for the creativity we're balling on, that's all I say. As far as the rugby league players goes, in today's game, with a kicking game, is the best in Super League. So people, please, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. The kicking game at Hull bring, the way that they play with the quality forwards and the big pack, the big centres and the big wingers, what they have. Yes, that's the philosophy of what they play. And Sneedy totally plays to his advantage, which is from kicking game there. So there I go.
Okay.
There you go. And did he deserve to be the man of the match? Of course he did. Head and shoulders above everybody else, and Hull, over the full 80 minutes, fully deserved to win the Challenge Cup. Well done to Radders. Well done to Gareth Ellis, the captain. And well done to the black and white players in the club. Sensational, and well done.
Very good. We've just been sent a picture. of
now,
you.
Sadly, two things which are now defunct and derelict, the South Stand and... Well, anyway.
Is it like a Chips, the police show from America? You're on one of their motorbikes there at Headingley.
What's
the only Chips you're associated with now are from Gravely's, by and large, or Casey's,
well,
of course.
What are we on about here? What's this here?
It's you on a motorcycle.
Yeah, Headingley, what's going
it's
on?
It's like got flared jeans on there as well.
Yeah.
Like,
be careful, then they might get caught in the chain.
Listen.
I'm retweeting anyway, yeah, let the people know. This is the best feature on the show. People send us random pictures of you doing stupid stuff.
Some people send me pictures the other day, and I think, where they got these from? Why are they showing these in a bath? Years old, but anyway, it's a good laugh. I don't mind a good laugh myself. I don't mind the Mickey being taken, but at times I've got to be serious. And on this show, I'm always serious, as you well know. But no, and I say Hull fully deserved it, as I predicted. I predicted a scoreline of 17-10, not far off. 18-14, predicted the Hull forwards would dominate. Albert Kelly and Mark Steed would be the difference. And let me just say this: if Mark Steed played in that Wigan side, Wigan would have won. Simple as that. Because you know Wigan. Do you know Wigan? George Williams is suffering massively, because we all know why. He hasn't got a scrum half at the side of him. Thomas Lulawai for mine. Why is he playing number 7 for Wigan? Clueless. Doesn't bring anything from there. But if Sneed had played for Wigan, they would have won. There you go.
OK. Phil, you were there alongside Richard. Part of our fantastic coverage. I mean, I'm going to write an article about it. You know what I mean?
I wasn't there,
can Matt, who works for the BBC, write an article that's going to be anything other than complimentary about the BBC? I watch the coverage. I've got my own thoughts on it. But I tell you what, people say, "Oh, no atmosphere." No, you listen on the radio. The atmosphere. It felt like I was there.
Well, one of the things I was going to say was comparing the social media and the comments that came in on the Sunday from people that watched it on the television. It was a very different game, I think, to those of us who were there. I thought, even though there were 65,000, you can.
I thought I'd give 68, Phil.
Or 68. You can. 68. You could. The lowest official crowd for some time, and we can debate about why that is and the readjustment of the figures with the. With the corporate side of things, it's still a worry that the amount has dropped so significantly. I thought the atmosphere created and the game itself was fantastic. And if that didn't come across watching it on telly, then I would say next year get a ticket and go to the game, because it was really, really brilliant. The Hull fans in particular never stopped singing all the way through, and I think they outnumbered Wigan maybe 2.5-3-1. But to be fair to the Wigan fans at the end, they were absolutely up for it for the forward pass that denied them the chance of golden point extra time. I thought it was the final that we've been waiting for at the new Wembley. I mean, we can all try and say when we thought the last time we had a great Challenge Cup final. I think it was, for me, 2005, and the new Wembley hasn't seen one yet. They've all been either over before it became a contest, or perhaps they haven't reached the quality thresholds. I thought this one was really good from start to finish. Edge of the seat stuff. There was a lot of quality to admire. I thought for all of the kicking game of Mark Sneed, his most significant one was the 40-20 at the start of the second half, because I think that gave Hull a 20-minute spell of dominance. And the only worry for Hull would be that they went into their shell.
That's 10 minutes,
And they didn't try and just win the game. They decided they weren't going to lose it. And that's a really dangerous tactic, because the one thing that Wigan have got is the ability to play for the full 80 minutes.
Well, do you know what? My great mucker was sat outside me, Crooks. I said, we know Lido. Wigan are going to go for 80. They are going to go for 80. When they give that penalty away, then they'll set a 6 to score a try from there. That was the worrying factor. But 2 points here then, Phil. First of all, I think I've got to say well done to Mr. Bentham. I thought he had a good game as a referee.
I thought he had a good game. There's been some stuff again on social media saying he didn't. I thought he got all the big calls right.
I thought Bentham was very, very good, and that's a legend saying about the referee. So yeah, for mine, Bentham had a quality game. And secondly, was that a try by Tony Clubb? The debate still goes on for mine. I just felt as though it wasn't a try. I didn't think it was a steal from there, but for mine, I don't think it was a penalty. What do you reckon, Phil? Rich?
I reckon as we watched it in live at the ground, it didn't look at all convincing that it was a try. It looks as he turned the ball, because the ball comes out over his shoulder. It's not like from his midriff area where you think there would be a riff. And I thought at the time, I think Matt on commentary said at the time, he's lost the ball. But interesting that Lee Radford said that he thought it was a try. And the Hull had dodged a bullet. Either way,
he made it on tongue in cheek because it wasn't given. But anyway,
either way, I thought Mr. Bentham's calls for sending tries
was good.
Were all right.
Yeah, I
thought
agree.
There were sufficient penalties to keep the game disciplined. but there weren't too many to slow the speed of it down. I also thought the way he handled the mini biff that we had in the first half with the pushing and the shoving, which we all love. Phil, let's be honest.
We all love.
Well, no, there wasn't a punch thrown, was there?
Us four in the studio could throw a better punch.
He could, if he'd wanted to, have taken out a yellow card or he could have put it on report, but he didn't. He just spoke to the team and said, look, we don't want any
common sense, isn't it?
Let's just have a scrum and play on. And I thought he handled the whole thing really well.
He did, so well done, Bentham.
I
thought he had a quality game.
It's only right, we get people mourning on all the time. Oh, referees, rubbish.
Mark,
I watched the game.
He wasn't an influence, and that's all
you asked. And I thought he seemed to get every decision. There are a couple of minutes here and there I missed.
Yeah, there was a point to a scrum that he might have got wrong, but he didn't determine the outcome of the game.
We tell it as it is, and I'd say the referee had a quality game, and I say well done to Bentham.
Rich, you were there. What did you make of it?
I enjoyed it. I mean, Phil Bentham must have been frustrated having to stand there for about 5 minutes, it seemed, at the start while we waited for the host broadcaster to sort their graphics out, as I understand was the delay. Both teams ready to kick off, and we're just waiting and waiting and waiting, but there you go. But yeah, it was an entertaining game. It was better than 2013. Of the four finals we've covered here on Radio Yorkshire, they've all had different stories attached to them, but this has been the best in terms of entertainment. It was interesting that Wigan, towards the end, when they started to throw the ball around, looked more dangerous, but I don't want to say anything else because I don't want Sean Wayne to fall out with me.
It's right. When you fell out with Sean Wayne...
I haven't fallen out with Sean. He's fallen out with you.
But he fell out with you last year when Ben Flower got sent off at Warrington, or against Warrington, and Wigan thought, we're going to sling it around, and then all of a sudden they played like the Allen Globetrotters,
didn't they, in that last 10 minutes.
Exactly, and that's why we keep saying it. If Wigan do it more often, you know what, Wigan, if they attack, right, from the 30-40 metres away from the opposition try line, that's where they ask questions. They attack 20 metres away from the opposition try line, they're pretty clueless. But again, that's another problem where, you know, I feel sorry for George Williams at this moment in time. I do, honestly, because George is being forced to play too close to the ruck area. He needs to be 30 yards away from the ruck area. It's as simple as that, where he could go across the field, use his dummy runners, use his own pace and go to line as well. And he desperately needs a quality halfback inside him, because at this moment in time, I said before the season started, for me, he's the best number six we've got in Super League. Yes, he still is on his day. England's number one for mine from then. I reckon that the way that he started out, he would have been a contender for Man of Steel at this moment in time, is a mile off.
The problem for me watching Wigan in a big game like that is that they can't change a game.
Correct.
Because you look at their substitutes and it's straight like for like. There's nobody who can say, right, well, the game's moving away from us. We need to change the way we're going to operate. We need to perhaps go to a different set of tactics or use a different outlet other than George, as is the only outlet. But the only person they can bring off the bench try and change it is O'Loughlin, who they've already taken off. There isn't a substitute. And I know you're not a big fan of stats, but I know we should
That's
talk...
That's a bit harsh, he does well on our Leeds United commentary. Old stats. No, that's a bit harsh, Phil.
Well, I know you're not a big fan, but... something absolutely extraordinary in the Wigan stats, and I know we haven't spoken about Hull yet and we should focus on how good they were, but if this is right in today's League Express, and I'm led to believe they are the full up to stats, so there's no reason why we should doubt it. Michael McAlorum, metres made, zero. Sam Powell, metres made, zero. So Wigan's two hookers on the day didn't take a single metre forward. All they did was channel the ball out of dummy half. That's either the stats are wrong or tactically there's something really wrong there.
Right there, Phil. Can it not? They're making no meters, but anyway.
I've never seen that before.
Danny Outon only made 21 if we've got interest of balance.
But zero. Both players didn't run with the ball. They only ever passed out of dummy half. Doesn't that say something about the way Wigan are playing at the moment?
Well, absolutely, McCollum. I think the philosophy of the player needs to change, because, as I say, Phil's just mentioned there about the bench, and I tell you, when O'Loughlin comes on, he gets the first man. You know, he created the try with that lovely pass, you know, 15-20 yarder from there. And that's what Wigan need to do more often, but they can't rely on O'Loughlin. You know, O'Loughlin is their main go-to man, realistically. He's their warrior, but we all know he's coming at the end of his tether, and they say, but he's still one of their best players, and they just can't keep relying on him, because at the end of the day, he's off the field a hell of a long time there for that sort of inspiration from there. And as I say, if they don't take any pressure off George Williams, give him some help in the number seven berth from there, I'm afraid to say George is going back. He's going backwards.
But who's coming through that we've seen that
Nobody.
Can take on that mantle?
Nobody.
Because I'm not sure that Wigan are in the market at the moment.
Didn't they give him a 4-year deal, Thomas Lundwein?
I think he's going on the staff, though, isn't he?
Sam Tompkins.
Sam at six?
No, Sam's not a halfback. He's not a halfback.
Because they've got Escarrate to come back in.
He's a fullback, Rich. He's a fullback, simple as that.
So if Escarrate comes back fully recovered from his knee surgery at the start of next season,
he's got to be the number
and
seven.
And he's playing like the way he was playing, he's the number one, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got to be. He's
so
got to be
Sam
the
then
seven.
Moves into the halves.
Yeah. Sam.
Tompkins.
Well, where's George going to play?
Well, in the halves with George. The two of them in the halves and Escarrate at the back.
No, Escarrate. No, for mine, I thought Escarrate were outstanding at number seven. Was he? Did he play seven? Would he play
no,
seven or
full fullback? Have you been drinking?
I'm thinking of the St. Helens scrum half final. That's all. Yeah. Anyway, move on.
But you don't think Tompkins is going to solve the problem?
Tompkins will not solve the problem
because he looked competent on Saturday, but he couldn't get involved enough.
No, there was a question asked on social media, and Rich will come to more of that in a minute. That asked how many pints you had. Now I've got a question because I've not really seen you to speak to. Since you made your appearance in front of the South Stand the other week, when quite literally I thought you were a bit of an embarrassment when you went on with your running on or whatever you were doing.
I showed a bit of pace.
Well, yeah, you did.
People want a reflection of, is it 30 years ago, since I signed for? They want a reflection.
Let's
of,
be
of
fair, you sounded half cut. So, did you have more pints on Saturday than you did at Leeds the other week?
I'd just say steady, to be honest with you. even money, I'd say that I might have had the same, to be honest with you. But I tell you what, though, I say they are. You know, they looked after the Hall of Famers and the legends who were in there. You know, Ellery did a great job. Martin was in there. Sean Edwards was in there. Lee Crooks was in there. And Johnny Whiteley and Alex Murphy. Great to see the boys. But I was on the table with Roger Draper. And I thought to myself, boy, oh, boy.
Well Nigel is pencilled in for next Monday night.
Is he? Right, anyway, yeah, so I was on...
Potentially Mr. Mascord as well.
So, yeah, I was on the table with Roger. And I tell you what, I'm delighted what the RFL... what he was telling me, what they're going to announce.
Did you ask him about moving it away from Wembley? Because that's what he was muting.
He was more into me telling me that the brand, and I think we'll go into it in the second half, maybe after 7 o'clock, the brand Great Britain's coming back and tours are coming back on. So I gave him a suggestion. Do you want me to tell the suggestion what I said to him now?
Go on then. You'll be the manager, is that what you said?
No. The suggestion, what I said was, if the proper tours are coming back, and certainly from the Kangaroos tours, and I said, are they going to be playing the club side? He said, well, we've not decided that now. So I said, well, I'll tell you what you do then to get the crowds back. If the Kangaroos aren't going to play the club teams, I'll tell you what you do. You play Yorkshire, Lancashire, Cumbria midweek. They would be absolute sellouts. Hopefully by then Darryl Powell will be the Great Britain coach, so we're not going to have him as Yorkshire coach. Hold on. The Yorkshire coach, it'll be Lee Radford. What a great inspiration that will be for the Yorkshire players to smash the Kangaroos. The Lancashire coach, Sean Wayne. My great mate Sean Wayne to be the Lancashire coach. Right? So Yorkshire against the Kangaroos at Edinley, full house. Lancashire against the Kangaroos at the Halliwell Jones Rugby League Ground, full house. And then they go to Cumbria, my great mate Paul Creary, who's been the Cumbria coach from there, full house, whatever they take it there at Workington or Whitehaven there, and then three Great Britain tests. What a great sellout that would be, wouldn't it? What great fixtures. Yorkshire, Lancashire, Cumbria playing the Kangaroos midweek, and then three test matches. Sensational. Three quality coaches from there. There you go. That'll bring the passion back, and that'll bring the crowds back for watching International Rugby League.
It will, you're right. We had a word with Darryl Powell, didn't we, in Scully's absence last week, about you becoming the manager of Great Britain, if and when he ever gets the job. He didn't seem as keen as you, Scully.
Oh, well, you can always keep knocking
and also, off. And also, we asked him about your playing career, and he said, oh, you were good at interceptions. He said he were good at defending when you missed the interception and he had to get your man.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, as we had that great night at the Arpax, it was a great night last week, and it cropped up, you know, with Darryl. So I went, hold on, Darryl, hold on. Throughout your career, you like to make five extra tackles, because I didn't miss too many.
Oh dear. Right, let's have a look then at.
Hey, but no, listen, what do you reckon about that international calendar? We can discuss that later on, I guess, but
no,
it's a great, absolute great concept.
We all want it to come back.
But as I say, if the Kangaroos aren't playing the midweek gate against the teams, what a great to play Yorkshire, Lancashire, and Cumbria. What passion that would bring back.
I think the other thing about that is if the Kangaroos bring effectively two teams, their midweek team will still be incredibly strong.
Of course it will. And do you know what? We're looking to try and create the origin atmosphere. They would create the origin atmosphere. Does that make sense? Yorkshire, Lancashire, Cumbria from there playing the Kangaroos, that would create the origin atmosphere we're looking for.
I think I'd like to see a game against England Knights. I mean, you can't have too many games. The up-and-coming England. And
we'd see all that in the Yorkshire, Lancashire teams, wouldn't we, really? Maybe the Cumbrians.
Somewhere in the schedule, there's got to be internationals against some of the other nations as well, Scotland, Ireland, Wales. They're not going to come for 7 weeks, we know that, but there does have to be a balance between also aiding the Tier 2 nations. Mm-hmm. But, yes, I think if the Kiwis and the Kangaroos are coming, and they're going to be playing Great Britain, there's a mixture of fixtures
there. Great Britain's coming back in 2019, Roger said, and I said to him, hey, you tell you what, you bring Brad back, you bring the proper tours back, you make yourself a popular fella, and certainly popular with the legend.
Well, and he'll make himself some money, and also, I think it'll be a product outside of the current television deal as well, so could go to market.
As we've seen in the past few days, weeks and months, international sport seemingly is what TV companies want.
Mm. There we go then.
We'll see when rugby league.
We mentioned it before we came on air, but the Women's Rugby Union World Cup final, because it was two international teams, drew a bigger than expected audience on an ITV channel not renowned for Women's Rugby Union on a Saturday night. And yes, we can argue about was it a fallow Saturday night in terms of it wasn't Britain's Got Talent night, but 2.3 million people watching that is a lot of people.
Tis right. Well,
probably had more hype on ITV than the Challenge Cup final got on the BBC in the week building up to the event as well.
Don't remember that being in Match Report. I'll have to consult that.
Probably wasn't, and I'll get this in now before I forget. 10:30 Sports Bulletin on Radio 5 Live as we're driving back up from London. Well, Phil was driving, we were all being chauffeured. And they come to the rugby league. But now, here's a question for the listeners out there. Maybe you want to be a sports journalist or a sports news editor. What would you have as your headline after the Challenge Cup final? Hull have won the second straight final. Do you play an interview with the successful coach Lee Radford? That's option A. Option B, the victorious captain, retiring Gareth Ellis. Be a good idea. C, the man of the match for the second straight year, last year trophy winner Mark Snead. Or D, George Riley describing Gareth Ellis lifting the cup. If you went for D, send your CVs to the BBC, Media City, Salford, not Manchester, and they'll give you a job because you're as big of an idiot as they are.
I tell you what, you don't need me. You don't need me. You don't need a legend.
This should be on pay-per-view. Never mind Mayweather and McGregor. RSW. Sex on all comers.
You don't hear from Alex Ferguson or any of these top coaches. You want to hear someone commentating. Idiots. lots of... I can say it. It's all right.
Seconds out, round two.
Gary says, he's been on about a few things. There's no shot to me, Hull winning. Said before, too many big players in size for Wigan. Hull's pack, I said halfway through the game, it's a shame you can't give the Lansard Trophy to the Hull pack of forwards.
Who did you write on your slip before you crossed
Fanua it out? Or Snead. It's between those two.
I'll bat Fanua.
I know, but I couldn't, in all honesty, I couldn't pick him because Snead was the difference maker.
Yeah,
the Hull forward pack were absolutely immense and all deserve the credit for creating a platform for Snead and Kelly to, as we discovered, drift in and out of the game.
I think it's safe to say that, again, going back to the stats, the two Hull props, Scott Taylor made the most metres among the forwards, 136. Mm. Liam Watts made the second most number of metres among the forwards, 120.
Liam Watts for the World Cup?
He's playing his way into contention, but neither of the Wigan prop forwards got anywhere near that. The only Wigan forward who got over 100 metres was Liam Farrell playing in the second row. I think Watts, in the semi-final and in the final, has proved that maybe he is becoming a big game player. Mm. He's got composure that he didn't have earlier in the season. And I don't think he made a mistake, whereas, again, even up to that semi-final, I think there was always a possibility he was going to let out a ball when it wasn't on and put his team under pressure. He's becoming certainly someone who needs considering, and Taylor didn't do his credentials anyhow.
So I'm just looking here now, my colleague here, Martin Sadley, obviously the editor of League Express. Can Hull go all the way now? Well, let's look at this here now. Last week, as we know, in the season, they got hammered 45-0, Leeds put 50 by them, Salford put 50 by them. The week before Wembley, Huddersfield put 40 by them. Didn't bother at Lee Radford, did it? Didn't bother because they have learned. Let's look here now. He wasn't talking that year. We're mostly going to get out of the pub by Wednesday. They've had the celebration today, and then I would imagine they'd be thinking about Leeds on Thursday. Tell you what, why the hell are they playing Thursday? I don't know. Why didn't they put Salford Wakefield to give them another day's rest?
Because the two games that Sky wanted, apparently, were obviously Wigan and St Helens, and Leeds and Hull. And so one of those teams had to play on a Thursday.
If for TV, then there's not a lot we can do. But when we look at the way that Hull now, and certainly what they learned last year, they go Henley on Thursday. The way Leeds are playing, you'd say maybe they've a chance of Hull from there. Hull got the last three fixtures.
Wakefield, Castleford, and Wigan again.
Wakefield, Castle, Wigan from there. So
they've got Wigan and Wakefield at home and Castle away.
Right, so let's just say that here now then, the way they learnt their lesson from last year, yeah, they won't be in the pub well Tuesday or Wednesday. They'll have the celebration today. They'll be back ripping in, I would imagine, tomorrow. So they're certainly concentrating on Thursday night's game. Okay, pretty much too hard to call, is it really, from there? But then for the last three games, they'll want to get themselves into position, ready for that semi-final, and say from there. And can Hull go all the way now? Boy, oh boy, can they go all the way, because they experience what they've got now. And certainly for the big games, they don't panic. All right, if they do get beat, then one thing for sure there now, they're ready to start the next week from there, and they've learned the lesson from last year.
The likelihood is they will finish third, I think. A worst-case scenario, they'll finish fourth, but they will be in the semi-finals. Even if they're away for one 80-minute game at, let's say, either Castleford or Leeds, you wouldn't want to rule them out. Now they've got that big game mentality. I think the warning for everybody else went out with the way Gareth Ellis was in the press conference. Yes, we have to celebrate this. It's a really big deal.
Yeah.
But we learned a massive lesson last year, and we retailored our pre-season this year to make sure that this wasn't the end of the campaign. And if we want to call ourselves a big club, which is what we're aiming to be, we have to get to Old Trafford. So I don't think there's any question that this is a very different Hull this year to what it was last year. And if they get either Leeds or Castleford in a semi-final away, you wouldn't back against them.
Why on earth are Hull playing on Thursday night?
Well,
why on earth?
Sky. Because the two games...
There's a game on Sky on Friday. Why couldn't they have played
because
there?
Because that would have been Wigan playing Thursday. Somebody in the cup final was going to be playing Thursday, and Sky decided it would be those that were in the Leeds and Hull semi-final, because Sky picks the games, and they didn't want the other two games that are on offer. They wanted, obviously, Wigan and Saints, because Barber's making his debut. And
given
the other game they wanted is Leeds
and
Hull.
I'm sure Sky have to approve the fixtures before they actually come out. Could they not have said, can we not move that to the week after because we want to put that on the telly?
Would have made sense.
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
It's a huge handicap. And even though, and again, Lee Radford was saying in the press conference, he doesn't have a lot of playing options at the moment. He virtually has got, this is his squad, and the only selection dilemma he really had was whether to play Steve Michaels or not. So he's expecting most of these Wembley players to back up on Thursday. And I think the worry for him, it's not a worry, it's just the way it is for him, is not that they're not physically able to stand up to the challenge. They are playing a team that has had a week off, but he thinks that physically they're all right. It is the mental side of things, that you've been on such a huge high. How quickly can you come down and then build back up again? But I think he could afford to lose this game on Thursday and still quite easily make the top four, and you would not rule against them in a semi-final wherever they play.
It might be playing Leeds away instead of at home,
or
that's
even Castleford away. But the fact is, they've had good results at both of those places, and it actually, in some respects, not playing at home might suit them.
Yeah,
is it a free go for Hull then on Thursday?
Yes, I think it is.
Yeah,
because
obviously,
whether they win or lose, as you said, they're going to be in the semi-finals, aren't they? So,
well, you would think so. It's not guaranteed, so. You know.
I would say on Thursday there's more pressure on Leeds to perform and get the result, to be honest with you.
I think the fact that Hull got battered last week has just given them a comfort blanket, Leeds. I think they're going to get
we all know the way that Hull, you know, that they don't like the Leeds club. The Hull fans don't like Leeds.
You do understand that, don't you?
I think only Leeds like Leeds.
So you're trying to say Leeds are not everybody's second favourite side, then, no? Is that what you're saying?
Everyone likes to see the Leeds Rhinos getting hammered. Everyone does that. That's how it is.
I think that's a bit harsh.
Richard, am I right?
So, yeah, we all hate Leeds.
There you go.
Getting T-shirts printed up.
When it comes to rugby league, everyone wants Leeds Rhinos to lose, barring the people at Headingley.
See, Leeds Wigan come as a
shock
to
I don't know why, but it's come as a shock to him.
He don't understand Scotty.
I'm not buying into that.
Going back to Hull's performance, just one thing that I was going to say. You mentioned Albert Kelly, I thought he was the unsung hero of the team. Mm. That actually he was the perfect foil for Mark Snead. Absolutely. To allow Snead to do what he did in the position that he wanted to do it in.
The time what Snead had on the ball, it was embarrassing, Phil.
But I also thought the number of times Kelly took the ball in and was prepared to be tackled to get the position for Snead to then do something. And the brilliant pass that he put away for Fanua's second try when that move, he admitted afterwards that move had broken down. But to still get the pass away and Fanua in at the corner. I thought Kelly was outstanding because he reined himself in to allow Snead to do what he did.
Well, this, you know, people eventually will start listening. When I talk about combinations and the right balance, that's what Hull have got with their halfback from there. You know, he's a guy who does all the organisation. He takes the pressure off Steen, and as I've said...
But he hasn't always done that in the past. He still had that element to him where he wasn't going to take on a game plan. He was going to try and do it his way. I thought on Saturday he was incredibly disciplined. And not disciplined as in he didn't give away penalties, but just he made sure that he didn't do anything that put his team under duress. He made the space and position for Snead to cause damage.
As well,
Kelly was brilliant.
He nearly went through a couple of times as well, the player what he was, but to say he's the ideal man for Mark Snead to put himself in position nice and early, that's exactly what he did. And as we say, he's certainly now, you know, the best kicker in suit, and we all, you know, maybe debatable with Bruffy from there, but no, Snead, he's easily the best kicking game from there, and Albert Kelly and him, and the right combination.
Is Kelly a different player, though? Because Lee Radford again said, talking about his team in quite detail after they'd won, that Kelly has gone out of line once with Hull and was immediately pulled back in again. Are we seeing a different Albert Kelly?
What do you mean, gone out of line?
Well, presumably he must have gone against some team edict or...
on the playing field or off the field?
I think the implication was that he'd gone out of line off the field and he'd immediately pulled back in again. He's gone out of line with all the previous clubs he's been with. Is this a different Albert Kelly we're seeing at Hull because of the environment he's in?
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, he's only got his own maybe one last chance saloon, isn't he? You know, and as I say, and you know, we are still debating it now, Phil Kaplan. The legend.
No, but
Phil,
I'm saying,
hold
what,
on, the
is
legend,
he a,
you know exactly what I'm going to say.
Is he a
hold
different
on.
Albert
well,
Kelly?
Well, he's had to be. He's had to be. But we're still debating now, and you still won't agree with me.
No, no, because I think he was a different Albert Kelly.
The red and white still would have played in one of them games.
Oh, Phil, disgusting. Phil, you put him on a rugby field, he's Albert Kelly, the rugby league player.
Exactly.
Whatever he's
exactly.
off the field, yeah, he's off the field.
But the trouble is, if it had got to the stage where other people in the team felt he was harming the team, he's a different Albert Kelly. Because he is the ultimate team man now.
I'm in the team. Look at some of the players who've signed this year, Phil. Where's the standards, the morals they had last year?
They've gone.
They're
one
they're
game off getting back
desperate.
To the Super League.
That's why.
Morals.
Rubbish.
Well, they were desperate not to be relegated last year.
Not desperate enough to close down Gareth O'Brien, though, or give away a penalty. Steve is a Hull fan who has obviously been on far too much pop over the last few days because he prefers Hull KR to Leeds.
I'm not having that. No.
You see, this is what the listeners are saying, Scully.
I'm not having
They're not having
no
you.
Chance.
They're not
I'm,
having you.
I'm
just,
not having
I just want to qualify. I think Leeds are a very well-run club, but I don't like them.
He still hasn't got over them signing Stan Smith in 1930. Yeah, Wakefield's test winger.
It's bad times. Leeds are the most successful club in the Super League area. Nobody likes us and we don't care. You're not Millwall.
Yeah, Leeds Rhinos.
Yeah. Robert says Leeds are like Man United. Everyone hates us. We don't care. Only jealous of us. You've only got three.
No,
you've only
look,
got three sides
hey,
of your stadium. We've got
look,
four now. No more than you.
look.
Hold on. Come 18
good.
Months, you won't have. Come 18
good,
months,
it's
do
all
me a
good
favour.
Fun, isn't it? And he's, there's a point there. People are jealous. Leeds have been
jealous.
Done really
it's
well.
Very good. Yeah.
You want to see them get beat?
But they're jealous of the facilities and the way the club's run and everything.
Exactly.
You know, the stadium itself.
I remember the start of Super League when they used to get hammered every week. No better time in Super League.
But also as well, from a player's point of view, but from an opposition player's point of view, and you know, and the direction of come there, you know, the facilities what they've got, on, the players who are going there, they think it's brilliant. It's like going to a semi-final with the atmosphere it's created, the pitch itself.
We're tongue in cheek, so stop getting so wound up.
Well, stop winding
me up
then. Stop winding me up then. Have a bit of respect for Leeds Rugby League Club and what they've done and what they've achieved.
Respect.
Where's your club nowadays? Where's your club nowadays?
You've
got nothing. Where's your club nowadays? Oh, because they've gone bust, I don't support them anymore. Yeah,
well,
do
there's
me
no
a
club,
favour.
Is there? You've just said, where have they gone?
Yeah, do me a favour.
And anyway, don't talk to me about
Move
respect.
On.
I offered to save your club some money. I said, me and Richard go and knock that stand down for him. Not even a word of thanks, honestly. It's disgusting.
Do me a favour.
While we're still on Hull, Steve, who prefers Hull KR to Leeds, says Hull will miss Fanua. They will. Two tries again on Saturday.
Although, interestingly, Fanua was the first to say that he owed a performance to Lee Radford because the only selection dilemma Radford had was whether it should be him or Steve Michaels, and Fanua said that on form it should have been Michaels. Knew that once he'd been picked, he had to repay that
favour. Well, after the first 40 minutes of the semi-final, he owed him one, didn't he? Because he was shocking, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. You know, the two tries where he just let Ryan Hall just... Ryan Hall, good. And you can score two tries if you want. But, he owed a performance on Saturday, and they certainly got one. Yeah.
And they've got a big American to replace him, who I think the Hull fans will really take to if he plays in a similar style to Fanua.
An American?
Yep.
Good.
Just on the Challenge Cup final coverage, which Nigel said, didn't take me long to get stuck into the BBC. No, just Five Live Sports Bulletin. He thought their coverage was superb, although it has to be said, Nigel, Kevin and others over the weekend are repeating the mantra, which we all repeat, what's the point of Robbie Hunter Paul going on the pitch? No one likes it. Stop it. Stop doing it, BBC. You've got 100 bloody people there to analyse the game. You don't need one running on the pitch every 5 minutes.
Do you know when he goes on? What's he doing? What's he analysing? Or what's his purpose? What is it? What does he do?
Tell us what happened.
Oh, does he? Yeah. Well, don't John Keir and John Wilkin and Jamie Peacock and Dennis Pitts and Jonathan Keir tell us that?
Jonathan Davis.
And Jonathan Davis, don't they tell us that?
Move on.
Elsewhere, James was watching the final on his mobile muted while attending a friend's wedding. Startled everyone when George Williams' tip-on pass was forward, as he counted. And reasons why people aren't going to the final. Gary says, on a bank holiday weekend, great time.
I've never actually thought about that.
That is one of the major
hotels,
facts.
Travel, it's... We don't.
But
think...
it's the other attractions that are on this bank holiday weekend.
It's not only that, Phil, right? We're now up against the football.
Yep.
The football.
Well, that's one of the other attractions.
How many people that go... I'd love to know the figure of people that go to watch rugby league regularly also go and watch football. I would say that would be quite a high thing. Now, you're not going to give up... If you've paid 40 quid a ticket to go watch... I know Leeds weren't at home this week, but you're not going to give up your ticket to go buy another ticket to go somewhere else. And more people are getting season tickets to go to football. You've got to. And I think that's having an impact, and therefore we shouldn't be going in August.
Well, I think Rich and I were trying to count the number of shirts associated with those clubs that weren't playing as we were driving through London. And we got there in such a time that the crowds were just starting to get there in significant number. There weren't many, were there? In fact, we saw many Australian rugby league shirts.
You used to walk up Wembley Way and you'd see them all.
Absolutely.
Without fail,
you'd see the coaches pulling up from Whitehaven and from Rochdale. And from Dewsbury. There aren't that many. We saw a family of Hunslet fans. We saw a couple of Whitehaven shirts. I think we saw a Parramatta.
Yeah, Parramatta were there.
South
in
Sydney and York.
Wakefield Spider-Man.
But we were looking for them rather than them being obviously part of the day. So I think, yes, you're right, there are a lot of football fans, but there are a lot of rugby league fans who don't support the two teams that are going to be playing, who aren't going. And I think there's some significant reasons for that. One is I don't think it helped us when the new Wembley was built. I think people do lose the habit of going to something. And when you spend 6 or 7 years moving around, you do lose some of the people that would have gone to any final. And I don't think we've got some of them back. But I also think as well that the whole core of rugby league is community. And our communities used to centre on working men's clubs and pubs, and they used to put money behind the counter every week for the Wembley trip. Those places aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
We've got to find other ways of engaging people and taking them down there, because that link with it's the festival of rugby league has been lost. And part of that is also that the two teams that are going to be playing in the Challenge Cup final are always going to be Super League teams. And Super League teams towards the top.
Well, I think you made a point earlier, you know, Northern Rail Cup, whatever. If you'd have said, right, Barrow are taking on, whoever it is.
That's what,
whoever. I'll pluck a name out.
Barrow and Halifax. Halifax.
And said, you're on at one or whatever, or at two, the final's on at four. Barrow would have taken thousands.
Well,
Halifax would have.
15,000 tickets would have been sold between those two.
Yeah.
And then I think you'd have got another heap of neutrals coming to see two games, one of which was, a league... I don't know, Northern Rail Cup type scenario, a League One a replica of what they do at the Blackpool weekend. Yeah. And it involves more people because they want to be part of an event. Yeah. I thought the Schoolboys game again was brilliant this year.
Why is it played in the stadium?
But now it's played because they put it on before the gates have opened, which is nonsense.
Yeah.
Because apparently we want to see all the other pre-match stuff. What pre-match stuff? It's a choir.
That's the problem, is it? There's no...
The pre-match should always be... If you're going to only have one game, it's got to be the schoolboys game.
Some of those try.
Well, there's a number six playing for Cass Academy. Yeah. If he hasn't been signed up yet, then he must have agents queuing outside his door.
He had vision and awareness, Scully. Oh, did he?
I never saw it to be.
Oh, magnificent.
You'd have been proud of it. Honestly, I'm not joking.
But it needed to be in front of a full stadium.
Yeah.
When you go to the NFL at Wembley, and I understand they've got a much bigger budget for these things than the Rugby Football League has. When you go to an NFL game at Wembley, there's a whole... almost a mile of stuff you can do outside before you get into the ground, rather than a piddly little fan zone doing whatever we do. And they have booths with all the sponsors. We've got plenty of sponsors in our sport who can go and give away their gear for free to people. They have proper entertainment in the ground, but they also, you know, got like legends of the game you can go get autographs from.
Well, like
Scully or Lee Crooks or whoever sat in a booth for half an hour. Get a photo. Get a signature. And meet
these
people.
Turn out to Dragon's Den, Phil.
Yeah.
Scully.
Veg.
Rotten Tomatoes.
We know Scully's a man of the people. He'd enjoy sitting there for half an hour saying hello to all these people.
Well, he's there anyway, isn't he? Why not get him to...
glad handing, isn't he?
You've got to make it an event. You've got to make it more than... just an 80 minutes of rugby.
Sat in a booth for that again, Doctor Who.
Oh, not you, then. We'll stick Ellery in there. That'll do. Everyone likes Ellery Hanley now, so we'll stick him in there instead of you. It's all
right. Of kidding. You know, I'd be delighted.
But wouldn't you? As you walk across to take up your position, to spend half an hour talking to the fans and signing autographs and talking about the comeback of Great Britain, that would be perfect.
Yep.
As Leon Price pointed out yesterday on Twitter, no one knows any of the players today. The only players we know are the ones from 25 years ago.
Yeah. So what did you make of his tweet? Sorry, going off topic. What did you make of his tweet yesterday? Admitted the last 3 years of his career being rubbish.
Who's that?
Leon.
Can we say that as well then?
He said apologies to Hull and Bradford fans. Last 3 years have been rubbish.
Well, he's only being honest with himself, isn't he? You know, and well done to him. Yeah, well done there for being honest, to be honest with you, and he's realised that.
Yeah, I thought you'd act his Twitter account at first. Coming out with some nice stuff.
But we need to make it an event where it's not just people who are rugby league fans are going to go and turn up. There's a reason why when Saracens or whoever play their big rugby union game at Wembley, just a regular season game, they get a big crowd. A, it's cheap tickets, but B, they make an event out of it.
And that counters the argument. Football's on at that time as well, but it doesn't stop them getting 80,000 at Twickenham, and those 80,000 don't go back. You don't suddenly find that Saracens crowds have gone up to 25,000.
Yeah,
it's an event. They want to be at Wembley and they want to be at the event.
Hold on. I mean, geography's not great. Harlequins, Wasps, whoever else, there's loads of rugby union. They're all locals, Phil. Yeah. They're not travelling from Carnegie.
Give them a reason. To actually give fans a reason to go. We don't give them enough reason. They'll go, there's the game.
Rob has put, stop playing it on the at worst.
Well, there's that as well.
Weekend for family holidays in the calendar. Right, you take your kids. I know the tickets are cheap. Can't knock that. The RFL are great at selling tickets. I think that you can never knock the RFL
for
that. And
no one knocked the ticket price when the tickets for the test match are cheap for the last couple of days as well.
Exactly. So you've got to cater to your audience. But you're going to go, as a dad, you've got to think... could murder a few pints when I get there. So if you go, £6
a pint as well. Well,
right. So if your dad wants,
how
a couple,
do you know?
Right, hold on.
Because I had too many of them.
But you wouldn't have bought any of them.
Well,
exactly. Someone told him it was £6 a pint. Well, say no. Come on, your average fan, mum, dad, two kids, whatever. £60 a ticket. The tickets are relevant, I think, in the whole grand scheme of things.
It's an expensive.
Then they've got to
weekend.
Go on the bus. Then they've got then they've got to get a taxi and go get the bus.
The
then when they get
pound.
There, they've got to buy a programme.
£8.
Then they all want an hot dog because they're basically out of the house all day.
Yeah.
You've got to buy food when you're... That's another 30, 40 quid. Then you have a couple of pints. Then your son wants a drink during the game. Are you talking £200,
but
Phil?
If you were going to the Leeds Festival or the Reading Festival or to see Elton John in concert, you wouldn't have much change out of that either. We just don't make it an attractive enough event... Because the main part of that event is going to be two Super League teams towards the top of the league every year. So we need to find ways of getting rugby league fans who used to go but have lost the habit of going, to give them enough incentive to still go along. Well, what would attract them there? As Richard says, a fan zone where you could meet stars of the game and various other things that you could do on the way in to the stadium to make it an event. But also, I think the school's game needs upping again. It's dropped dramatically in the level of its importance. To go back to what Kevin Sinfield said, it was that game that made him decide he wanted to be a rugby league player. When he played at Wembley as an 11-year-old and there were 50, 60,000 people in the stadium, you cannot put them on when you haven't even opened the gates. And if you had a second game that involved clubs... We talked about this the other week. I think there is a case now for at least debating whether we split the Challenge Cup and make what is the Challenge Cup, as we see it, the glorious old lady trophy, open to full-time professional teams and what was the Northern Rail Cup and should have a better sponsor than something that's got Northern in the title for part-time teams. One of the aspirations of being a full-time team is you join that elite group. It's only four games now to win the cup anyway. So if you're Toronto, for example, and your aspiration is to be in the Super League within 5 years of existence, and you are already full-time professional, you would play in that Challenge Cup echelon. The other teams who are part-time have a chance to win something on the national stadium. So if you are Featherstone at the moment and you need to be part-time because that determines where you are in the food chain of rugby league, you have the chance of playing at Wembley and winning a trophy. Why wouldn't 10,000 Featherstone fans support that as an idea? Whereas they know the way it's structured at the moment, they're not going to get to the Challenge Cup final. So well, I think if we change it and we move it, because it's clearly at the wrong time of the year, I think you could get 30,000 people that are missing just by doing that.
Because when you look at that classic final from 1985, there were 98,600 people. Yeah. So 30 years on, where has 30,000 people gone? When we say it was for everybody, the Challenge Cup was for, as we're saying, not people Yorkshire, Lancashire, Cumbria, and maybe some neutrals from there. So where are 30,000 people?
And even people
gone?
In and around the London area, who will see that on that weekend, rugby league comes to Wembley. That's always a great occasion. It's wonderful camaraderie. The fans all mix. We have a really good time. Invariably, the game is exciting. We don't really understand it, but it's great fun. For that weekend, I won't go and watch Crystal Palace, which costs me £70 every time I go there. I'll go to Wembley.
Fair enough.
Those people
at
will
RL
still be out
on
there.
Our why.
Because they came to the semi-final of the World Cup and they were talking as if they'd never seen a game before and they enjoyed it.
So
where are they? Lots and lots of response to what's going on with Wembley. Stephen says, to be honest, it was the top tier of the ground that stood out. It feels like the Magic Weekend has taken the shine off the Challenge Cup for the neutral. At least going to Magic Weekend, you can watch your own team. Invariably, it's cheaper than London prices. Have the RFL shot themselves in the foot? Tradition or not, it is the only comp we have on terrestrial TV and it's not been showcased well. Michelle says Wembley's too expensive. Why pay £50 to watch one game when you can pay the same amount at the Magic Weekend?
Well, I'd say, Michelle, if you're paying £50 to watch the game, you haven't bought your ticket in time. You can get tickets for £20, good tickets as well, if you buy them in advance. I don't think it's the ticket price that's the issue, personally.
Jimmy says a lot of talk suggests the alienation of clubs outside Super League is why they stopped going.
Fair point.
Simon says, Rugby League has reached its credible marketing limit. The governing body are making it increasingly hard to follow the game, and teams like Toronto and, suppose, New York team, which we'll get on to, will only make an already hard-to-support sport out of reach for a normal working chap, and chapess, Simon. Plus Thursday and Friday night games where teams are expected to travel 100 plus miles when it's on TV are killing support. The RFL need to take a good look at themselves and their marketing strategy sharpish, or they'll find themselves running out of supporters. John doesn't agree with me about stuff around Wembley. He says it's complete nonsense. Hull half filled the ground, Wigan didn't show up, teams or fans. And I guess it's getting the neutral, the other stuff. If your team's at Wembley, you're going to go. Regardless of, you know, if there's
Wigan didn't, in fairness.
Or, unless you're Wigan.
What, if there's any Wigan fans out there,
why didn't you go?
Are there any who deliberately chose not to go? And if so, why?
Yeah, tell us why. Tell us why you didn't go.
Because I think it's important for the Rugby League not to take data from those who were there. It's actually more important to find out why didn't fans go. Is it something to do with Wigan themselves, the way Wigan are playing? Is it something to do with the fact that, you know...
This is Wigan as a club, though. I have the big one every year, Phil, and do get big crowds to what are sometimes meaningless games.
They're already talking about a lot of support going to Wollongong.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get the support down at Wembley. So why, you know, die-hard, avid Wigan fans who are listening in now, please tell us why you might not have gone.
OK.
When's the price increase had a big effect?
Fair play, then.
I mean, the other thing is... because we don't need to buy tickets because we were working out, we don't necessarily know the prices.
But I always see a lot of cheap, you know, tickets don't seem to be a lot. I mean, if you're a family of four going, you've got my utmost respect because it is, it's a week's wage, it is, honestly.
I have to say, the programme's very good, but £8 is a lot of money to spend on something, and...
But that's not. But that's not an essential. You wouldn't decide not to go to Wembley because the programme's expensive.
But when you're there, and the food.
And to be honest, it's 100 pages. If it was 50 pages and £5, it wouldn't be an issue.
Gary Carter says we're answering our own questions regarding the NFL. There were 10% more people at the final than last year, and of course, because we haven't counted this year, the people who had Club Wembley tickets who weren't going. But that's almost again like.
You know, make it, it's a false excuse. The fact is, there were only, if this is an accurate 68,000 people, we've then got to say, I'm sorry, we've got all the previous 10 years' crowds wrong.
Yeah.
But also, we are still working from a basis of 68,000, and we have lost approximately 25,000 fans.
Yeah. Fair point.
Lots of people saying pubs and clubs that used to go on trips are closed.
We used to go from the cricket club. That's how I started going. Yeah. I went to watch.
But the argument for that is, if that isn't there now, what are we as a sport doing to try and replicate that? Every club now has a foundation. Now, should the foundations be operating for Wembley trips, particularly for schools and kids, the same way that pubs and clubs used to do? Because they're not there, should one of the mandates of the running of a foundation be you run Wembley trips? Every club, no matter who you are, has this ability to collect money, book coaches, and take a trip.
I think all the clubs get tickets, and that's why you'll find if ever you need a ticket, you'll get one because some of the other clubs just can't get rid of
but
the ones
do
that
we need to organise? Do we need to find a different way to organise and mobilise to replicate what the pubs and clubs used to
do? If you said you get 100 people willing to do that, 100 clubs, that's 5,000 tickets. No, it's a drop in the ocean, Phil.
But if you got the 12 Super League clubs to run 1,000 people on that basis, there's 12,000 people.
Shane says, Wigan fans didn't go because they knew they wouldn't beat the Yorkshire side. Oh, Shane. Stephen says, I always said the first time I go to a cup final is when my team gets there. As a Wakefield fan, I'm still waiting. Stephen, take the plunge. It's good. People who went on Saturday will have enjoyed it. They will have enjoyed it.
I don't see how you wouldn't have enjoyed it.
The atmosphere on the radio was absolutely unbelievable.
And that was made by the people that were in the ground. So imagine what the atmosphere would have been like if there had been a third as many there and the top tier had been out.
Tyke says there's too short of a gap between the semis and the finals to organise everything.
Agree that.
I think we said before.
No, it is.
Yeah. I think it's more than it used to be. It's now a month. In the days when Gary played, it was a fortnight. I think part of the other issue, which we haven't talked about, is the cup loses all its spontaneity because of the length of time between rounds. So you wait, 6 weeks between the quarter final and the semi final? So you're Salford, you have a magnificent win, you're in a semi-final, you're on the cusp of doing something that you haven't done for a generation. You have to wait 6 weeks to play the semi-final, by which time you can't win a game, and all your fans are going, actually, perhaps it's not as big a deal as we thought it was.
But
I think we should
in the past, though, if you got in a semi-final, you'd have to play on a Wednesday night, wouldn't you? Everyone else played.
Well, there were more leagues, but you got momentum because you played the cup rounds every fortnight. So there was a building of excitement and momentum within the clubs that were still in it.
It had a continuity. You can't turn around to whoever loses in the first round and says, oh, lads, you've got 3 games in the next 8 weeks.
It was a different way of structuring the league in those. And what I'm saying is the gap between rounds now
takes the excitement away from the cup. One a month. Or, every month. First weekend of the month is cup weekend.
Back in our day, when the fixes were like that, I think Wigan played 9 games in about 24 days before they played the Challenge Cup final. That's the way it was.
Mind you, they did have 7,000 players
in those days. So they could cope.
Only ice they needed was in the lager.
Imagine the coaches today. Oh, dear. Last couple of points on Wembley for the time being. Dave says, Wembley crowds always suffer when Hull are in the final because they travel in huge numbers. Every year is neutral, so when they are there with their own team and the other neutral fans from the other clubs don't go, the attendance drops. So it's all Hull's fault. And Gemma Carter, you should be sat next to Gary tweeting at the same time, says, why are people going to buy into something that is so frequently bashed? It's getting harder to escape the negatives. We are a very negative laden sport now because we like to kick everything.
But what we're saying is we've had a fantastic day at Wembley.
Yeah. And the people
who've really lost out are those that didn't go.
Yeah.
And a lot of those that didn't go previously have been.
Yeah.
So how do we get them back?
Yeah. But at the same time, the old RFL at times does give reason to bash it, i.e. it's in August now, everyone wants it earlier in the season. You have it in June, July, especially when there's no World Cup, etc. on. Everyone will be watching it.
I think May, where it used to be, in May, either the bank holiday at the beginning or the bank holiday at the end is perfect.
The problem you've got then, though, is the football, because Wembley is, let's be fair, a football ground. The football gets...
Well, priority. They managed to turn it round for Tottenham within 12 hours. Mm. Apparently the RFL handed Wembley back at midnight, with all the signage down. Tottenham played, was it 2 o'clock the following afternoon?
Half one.
And it was fine.
Yeah.
Can be done.
Tottenham were rubbish. But
yeah, Hull FC have got a better record at Wembley than Spurs at the minute, which is good news.
There you go.
Gary says, ask Gary what he thought of Sam Tompkins. There's talk of him as England fullback. Me, not good enough. And Saturday he was a bit dirty as it wasn't going his way.
Yeah, it was surely again he outplayed him. There's no doubt about that. And as we all know, I think Sam at times fixes all that. Should be tackled. And unfortunately, in a rugby league pitch, and you're one of the most important players for the opposition. And they're going to not only want to tackle you, they're going to try and belt you and frustrate you. And at times, that's what Sam gets, doesn't he? Because it's when it's not going his way, he gets frustrated a little bit with his teammates. And I say, but the opposition know that if they do rattle him, then there's a bit of frustration coming out, and maybe a penalty out of him. But Shaw certainly got the better of him on Saturday.
He did indeed. It is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. We're here every Monday night, 6 until 8. In the old Bradford Bowl. I'm going to call us the Awesome Foursome. Yeah, that's what I'm going to call us. But, Scotty, I've got to be honest, I'm thinking about getting rid of you, because Richard Shaw Wright is quite clearly the leader at the moment of this Awesome Foursome. Phil's second, I'm third, and you're fourth. So, can you be
him
a bit?
A bit like my playing career. Because I keep getting reminded.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, well, never mind. You're back in action. We've called you off the bench this week. Leeds Hull Thursday, Salford Wakey Friday. Looking forward to that one. And Fev Hull KR on Sunday. It's another huge week. We're going to be looking forward to the running now, the race for Old Trafford, the race for Super League. Really starting to kick off. Want your comments. Loads of you watching. Please, please, please share it, retweet it, whatever. Let other people know that we're here. Get more involved. Big Nigel might be here next week.
Proper Sport at 6. Want your say on all things rugby league? Radio Yorkshire, every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. Opinions welcome, but be prepared to fight your corner.
Our number two is here on Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. The boys are back. They've all been for a comfort break. Scotty's made the break. He does make a lovely cup of tea, the legend. He's busy. He's on his phone, not listening again. That's why we need to get rid of him, lads. Are you, Scotty? You all right?
I'm listening, mate. Yeah, you like the tea? You like the tea?
It's all right, yeah. It's not bad.
I'll tell you what, we'll be for sure. I'm getting enough practice. It's like you going to the bar. You just don't do it, do you?
Well, you've got to know, your role in the team, Gareth. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm been demoted badly now, haven't I?
Yeah, yeah, never mind.
Is it because everybody's playing so well, or what's the situation, eh?
Well, they say about form is permanent, form is temporary, sorry, class is permanent. Mm, well, yeah, looks like you're out of form.
I know all about that.
Oh dear. Did you enjoy it anyway? You were sat on the front row. We saw too much of you on the telly.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. I took my daughter down there because, and I say, if people don't know, when you're getting inducted to the Hall of Fame, and you get the invite from the RFL. So this year I took my daughter Danielle. Next year it'll be my son Jonathan. That'll be interesting. That'll cost me a fortune. He goes to the bar and gets his money out of his wallet just as much as what Mark Wilson does. The year after, I'll take the son in law from there. But no, my daughter totally enjoyed it. Great experience. And she got herself on the TV herself a little bit, got a bit of stick from her friends. Her mobile phone were going ballistic and all this sort of thing. So, no, great experience for them. And, I really enjoyed it. The atmosphere was brilliant. And the game itself, Hull got exactly what they deserved.
They did indeed. Right, where do we want to go? What are people wanting to talk about?
Well, still on the challenge, a couple of people saying, obviously the trains, not the bank holiday weekends, because that's when they schedule maintenance work, especially into the stations, which Wigan-based trains head straight into, so well done to whoever does the railways these days, don't know who that is. Elsewhere, talking of rugby league, promoting rugby league, says Paul, we are 2 months away from the World Cup, no marketing or promotion to speak to. And on that same point, you know, similar point, Gavin says, I've heard more about the World Cup for watching the Toronto Wolfpack self-promotional stuff. They're making an effort to promote the game as a whole while our media barely whispers a word. North American-style promotion is what this game sorely needs. Needs the budget of North American sport. Not necessarily sure we've got that. Kevin says, we had a whole day of rugby at London Scholars New River Stadium on Friday. Juniors with competition team from France as well as the Parliamentary Rugby League group team game. Followed by the Scholars play South Wales. And mostly with a media blackout for London Rugby League in general does not help the RFL. Needs to do more in the marketing department. So I guess this is the same thing again. We don't sell the game.
I played in one of them parliamentary games, you know. We played at Edinley.
And, oh, I've seen the picture of you throttling Greg Mulholland.
And,
someone tweeted that in as well recently.
It was the same game, and I did my rib a lord. I think it was down Sussex and when and whatever, and literally he creamed me out. He did my rib, honestly. He did my rib, and after he was bragging about it. So I went, hey, listen, this was supposed to be a bit of a fun game and whatever. I said, if I play one of these games again, I'm telling you, I'm breaking your jaw. I'm breaking your jaw, because you know what he was doing after? He was bragging. Because I was in pain, and I literally bent over, because I've done a rib cartilage as well, so they're very, very sore. And he was bragging about what he'd done for him. And I said, I'm telling you, if I play another one of these games, I'm going to break your jaw. Simple as that, but I've not been invited back before.
I can't think why.
He got me an absolute peach.
Who was it? We'll send him a thank you letter.
Lord, somebody. We're eight fat little so-and-so as well, to be honest with you and all. And you know, who were the front rower? So our front rower got to me. I don't know. That was another embarrassing thing, man.
Exactly.
It was a front rower got to me.
I think sometimes you've just got to take your medicines going.
Yeah, and I've not been invited back to play, to be honest with you. But yeah, that's it. Yeah, but Greg Mulholland, I tell you, laughable with Greg, you know, because he was our captain, and he was giving all the big licks, the big talk, and he, a bit like Phil Kaplan, strapped his knees up. he had the shoulder pads on, and then all of a sudden he put them silly gloves on. You know, the mitts, I thought, Greg, what are you doing? It's not cold out there. What are you keeping your hands up? Oh, yeah, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. It makes me catch the ball. Catch the ball. I think he dropped it six times before he got the ball in hand. He's absolutely rubbish, is Greg. But talk's a good game. And anyway, that's Greg Mulholland for you. Yeah, I don't think he'll be getting selected for the Great Britain side anytime in the future, to be honest with you. But there were good occasions. But the Lord so-and-so from down Sussex away, I can't remember his name now. Yeah, he busted my ribs. Good style.
Okay. Mm. I think we've got an issue with the sound on Facebook.
Yeah, Tom's kicking it, so we should hopefully be...
You can listen on online, radioyorkshire.co.uk.
And then just have the pictures on in the background of us gesticulating and stuff. Comments on Facebook. Exciting news, by the way, for people who've got who don't subscribe to television, is that there's a new free sports channel coming on, which it appears to be showing all of Toronto's games and some NRL games for free. Now, whether this is Son of Premier, which you'd expect it was, because they're showing all the other stuff from there. And it's not on all Freeview boxes. It's only on some Freeview boxes.
Right.
More exposure for our great game, unless people actually don't know this channel exists, which they don't know it exists. So. As was ever thus. It's all right having
exposure.
It starts
on Thursday, doesn't it? I think with Brisbane against North Queensland.
The problem is, people won't know it exists. And
word will get round. If it's free, word will get round.
Mm. It's like this show.
Yeah.
Word gets around eventually. Nigel, apparently, in next week.
Is that official? Is that...
That's what I've been told.
John thinks they should show the kids playing on the BBC just before the Challenge Cup final, gives the youth a big incentive, and get rid of Robbie Paul. Waste of time with all these balls to build up to the game. Apparently, as Stephen says, they're trying to copy the NRL coverage. They have ex-players doing the same, Darren Lockyer, etc. Don't want to make the obvious comparison there.
Don't you think do Darren runs on the pitch during the game, though.
Looking
I think
like
he interviews people as they're coming off at half time.
Which is different.
Which is slightly different.
Yeah. It's what they have Tanya and Damien Johnson for.
Mm. Although Ellery looked as though he could still play.
Yeah. He had a few words to say.
Fit as a butcher's dog.
Yeah.
How was he, Gary?
We all are. Yeah, it's good. He's in fine form. Yeah, we all are.
He looked really good. He looked particularly good. He looked like he could have played.
I tell you what, when you looked at the Pearl, Martin, Sean, myself, Crooks, Tell you what, we'll be able to do a bit. Easy.
Wayne Bennett, if you're listening.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Told you. Yeah, Daryl Powell, don't worry about that. Daryl Powell, Great Britain. Told you, when the kangaroos come over, get the county sides in, and the coaches involved, everybody will flock to see them games. They will flock to see them.
I actually agree.
Telling you.
I do agree.
Lee Radford is coach for Yorkshire, Sean Wayne coach of Wigan, and Paul Cleary coach of Cumbria.
Lee Radford, the new piece of fox.
Everyone loves Lee Radford now. Back to that Challenge Cups.
People that think that wanted him sacked.
Yeah.
20,000 people. Oh,
there were plenty.
Estimated in the centre of Hull this afternoon to welcome them back as well.
Oh, they were plenty. First of all, there were plenty who didn't want Radis to get the job in the first place. And then obviously the first 12 months it didn't go that very well. But
how well has Adam Pearson done then to stand by his man?
Sensational. Absolutely sensational. He's got to take all the plaudits because he was put under massive pressure. Massive pressure from everybody. From everybody to sack Radders. Well, first of all, don't give him the job in the first place, but then to sack him after the first season, you know, because it was disastrous. But
I think we've got to credit Motu Tony as well, who's finishing at the end of the season going back to New Zealand. There's been a stability of recruitment, and I think the work that they've done between them, and Lee Radford again was saying, they do a lot of background checks on the people they're signing now.
But what I'm saying, with Radders, though, then, for what it is with Radders, he sells the club, and what's this word in rugby league now, with team spirit and camaraderie. Now it's the culture. So Radder sells the club what they're looking for, and if you don't buy into that, then unfortunately you're not going to get signed. But Radder's knows Hull inside out.
Yeah.
I reckon, Mark, that's the major reason why Pearson kept Radders on, because he knew what Radders brought to that club. Yes, it was very testing times, the pressure was on in the first season, but he knew what Radders could bring to that club, and the attraction of the club and selling it to the quality players what they've got now, and that is the reason why Radders is a quality coach. Pearson backed him as chairman from there, and now they're getting the results and getting the trophies.
I would add in Motu Tony, because I think the recruitment's been excellent. I think people like Minicello have been exactly the right type of signings for Hull. But I also think that a lot of people, and we may even have done it here, questioned paying £100,000 for Mark Snead when they signed him. That investment has now more than paid for itself.
Does indeed. People say, have you told everyone you can actually listen?
Yeah, radioyorkshire.co.uk/webplay. The Radio Yorkshire app.
Yes.
Which is free.
App. Free.
You don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Download it now.
Or if you're in God's own country.
Yeah.
In the right
DAB.
Area.
DAB. elsewhere in stuff, and Tommy's kicking the computer, so we'll be signing up soon. Sid asking why other teams weren't playing this weekend. Bank Holiday weekend had just one fixture. Oh, of course, there was the League One game on Friday, as well as mentioned London Scholars, and four games of the Championship Shield, everyone's favourite competition apart from the League One Shield, which is the best competition in rugby league. I don't know. I guess you want to make the Challenge Cup final special.
To give people the chance to go to the Cup final. And again, that's why a bank holiday weekend doesn't work, because we could be playing some games on a bank holiday month. There's very little sport apart from the Test match at the moment. If we'd had this afternoon some Super 8s games, I think we'd have got really decent crowds for them, but you can't schedule those games until you know who's playing in the Cup final, so don't play the Cup final on a bank holiday weekend.
It's a good idea, though, isn't it? Simon didn't get to watch last week, but went to watch Barrow versus Oldham the week before. Great advert for rugby at a lower level and some cracking players on show. If anyone's got time on their hands, go and watch a Championship game. The standard is far better than expected, says Simon.
Great honesty about the Championship. I know whenever we've been.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, we was at Keefe, weren't we? Keefe, Toronto. We enjoyed that, Mark, didn't we? You know, it's open, honest rugby league. All right, at times it might not be, you know, the skill level what we're looking for. Well, I guess at times in Super League, the skill level's not there, is it? That's it's quite dire, and, you know, making silly mistakes at times, and schoolboy mistakes. But, no, it's 100% commitment, effort, and certainly as we saw at Keefe in Toronto, and also many of the Championship games, what we've done this season.
Talking about Super League standard, is it my imagination, or are more balls being dropped in play at the moment for every team?
Mm.
And what do we put that down to? And don't say the manufacturer of the ball.
No, there's nothing to do with the ball.
If I knew,
I'd be going to every coach and saying, hey, listen, this is the reason why your players are dropping the ball.
Is it the greater intensity of contact?
Well, at times they're dropping the ball when there's nobody even touching them. So I ain't got any answer, Phil, to be honest with you. Is it lack of concentration? Is it the players maybe not expecting it or whatever? I can't really give it an answer, Phil, to be honest. But one thing for sure, it's not the ball's problem.
No.
No way, man. It's not the ball problem whatsoever. You know, well, you looked at one pass, in the pass from John Bateman to George Williams. Well, first of all, the pass shouldn't have been on anyway, and secondly, he had no chance of catching it. But even still, a couple of passes into the breadbasket, as the saying goes, was just dropped. So if I can find an answer, I would like to, but I don't know, Phil, to be honest. I don't.
Gallant Youth has been on, who he, she, it is a Batley fan, obviously. Yeah. Having been to Bradford today, they still seem to be in denial of their situation. Everything is all out. Someone else's fault.
Bradford today.
Take responsibility.
Yeah, Batten.
Take responsibility. So there's 11 in the league, especially today, saying, oh, it's not all our fault. Oh, no, it's not all Bradford's fault. And alongside the letter saying, oh, the £1 million game is bad because people will lose their jobs, apart from the fact that all the players from Hull KR are still in work.
Yeah.
We've got to stop this narrative. If you want relegation, we have it. If you don't want relegation, we don't have it. It's simple as that. Bad rugby league players are going to lose their jobs because they're bad rugby league players. Just like
I'm off, you know.
Legend. We'll see you in Championship One next season. He's gone. This fella's gone.
We can't just protect bad rugby league players from losing their jobs, and no more than bad footballers or bad people who work at the chip shop or whatever.
Is it a job at the chip shop? It looks like that's what you're going to get, isn't it?
Well, you should be well qualified. You spend half your life in it, don't you? Bit out.
It's a job at the chip shop.
A Huddersfield Giant has been tweeting. Leroy could just get a testimonial next year.
Brilliant news.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Well, it's well supported. And they're signing Colton Rush from Bradford.
Yeah, apparently so.
As the exodus continues.
Yeah. The Bradford Bulls, now Huddersfield's feeder club.
Bradford Barracudas has a ring to it. One for the younger listeners there.
Yeah, I hear that well, another coach has been interviewed for the job, hasn't he? At Bradford.
Mm. Oh, is there a job?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, we'll see.
Ian has mentioned the ongoing, or what could be a dispute, or might not be, because the AJ Bell Stadium, where we will be on Friday to see Wakefield clinch a further step towards a place in the top four and eventual grand final glory. Sale Sharks, as we know, their players act out of character all the time. The Sale Sharks want to buy the AJ Bell. If they don't buy the AJ Bell, they're going to move.
Yeah. Well, they're going to retire from their lease and go play somewhere else.
I think it's what they call brinksmanship, isn't it? Or something.
Yeah. Well, they have said that if they buy it, the Red Devils are more than welcome to stay.
But the rent will be going up 7,000%.
They can call their play. anyway. Andrew says, what do you think, Barber or Lomax?
Can I ask a question? Gary Carter tweeted his England squad last night, and had Lomax as one of the three fullbacks. I don't get Johnny Lomax. I'm sorry, I don't. He's all right.
I really like him as a player, but the fact that St Helens are going to put Ben Barber in the fullback role, I think, tells you where he ranks, even at St Helens.
Yeah, he's not even the best fullback in his own club.
I think he can reinvent himself as a halfback, which, of course, is where he started from. I think he's very talented.
Well, I've told you what I think Barber should play at Lewis Ford here, but I'm just leading the league, especially, and Barber keen to remain a Saint. He's not even played a game yet. He's not even played a game, and he's training.
James Seguiaro were keen to remain at Leeds when he signed that new contract.
He's got a contract for 2019. He's not played a game yet, and he's keen to remain the same. What's all that about? And he's not interested in going back home. Well, I'll tell you what, nobody wants you back home. You know, so you've got to make an impression, and nothing better than playing the big local derby on Friday night against Wigan. You know, he's saying here that he knows all about the derbies and what have you. Well, you don't know about the derbies because you've not been in one. I bet you've not even been in one. So it's going to be a real eye-opener for him there. But yeah, headline, Barber keen to remain a Saint. Boy, oh boy, he's not even played yet. Not even played. And is he, realistically, again, is he, like Seguiaro, looking to put himself in the shop window? He's cleaned himself up a little bit and put some impression until the end of the season and get him sent back home. It'll be an interesting one.
It will. I think he's a great signing for St Helens to bring in
at this time. But I tell you,
he could be the catalyst.
I would play him at loose forward because the way that St Helens want to play, quick play the balls, Roby out dummy half, he's around that ruck area from there, he would score a bucket load of tries at the end of the season. He would, honestly. Telling you, Holbrook, if you're listening, listen to the legend, get back.
Hold on. First lesson. Don't leave the kid on the bench until the game is lost, like he did at Leeds 2 weeks ago.
Oh, Richardson. Oh, yeah, he's got to play Richardson.
Jeez.
He's got to play Richardson.
Eh?
You know, whatever Matty Smith brings, all right, maybe a bit of a kicky game, but he's too slow. Richardson is a far better number seven. Richardson's got to start for mine.
Would Wigan have won the Challenge Cup final with Matty Smith?
Well, I know a big problem Wigan have got is a goal kicker.
Yeah.
They need a goal kicker as well. Mm. They do. They need a goal kicker.
A Botica or a Richards.
Or a
Richards,
yeah. Or a Fowl. But, well, certainly we made the game level because, you know, he kicks goals, Matty Smith, doesn't he? But at the end of the day, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Certainly Wigan would have played positionally more in the whole half than
but
they
anyway,
did
we're
for...
we're not on about the final now. The fact is... Richardson.
Yeah, sure.
But the fact is, Richardson should be the scrum half now for St. Helens. Simple as that.
But if Lomax is moved into the halves, if he is, Lomax
has been trying a halfback when him and Gaskell were there, and it didn't work. And Gaskell and Lomax, obviously that combination didn't work from there, but it didn't work with Lomax playing at halfback. He's not a halfback. He can't read the game. He hasn't got that vision and awareness.
Why have St. Helens re-signed him and England topped up the contract? If he's not going to be playing fullback,
well,
he's going to be playing somewhere.
Well, I don't know. You tell me. I don't know. He wouldn't have got a 25 grand contract off me if I'd been in charge.
Well,
would he got it off you if you'd been in charge?
No, Gary, a respected journalist, says Wayne Bennett thinks he's great.
Well, obviously he's seen something that
I just don't. I just don't. He's a good player. I'm not saying he's not a good player, but he's. You can't pick him in front of Hardacre. Gary says he thinks Hardacre might play at centre.
No, Hardacre's a fullback. Hardacre is an out and out fullback. And we're going to play players out of position and say from there. And yeah, I know players will say, I'll play anywhere for my country. Yeah, and rightly so. But they want to be where they're comfortable. They want to be where they've been playing all season. They want to be where they've got that confidence from there. You know, you tell me, right then, any England player, who would they want at fullback? Who would they want, Hardacre or Lomax? Who would they want, from a point of view, defensive-wise, positional player, and attacking-wise? Who would they want?
What if they could have both of them, though?
Well, a fullback.
No, one at fullback and one at centre. That's the idea, that you pack your 17 World Cup hopefuls with your best players.
Instead of a team full of second
why
players,
you want
to
play,
a team full of fullbacks.
Why do you want to play the best fullback in Super League out of position at centre?
Can you have... Well, I'm saying, can't you have both of them?
Well,
a little bit of each?
Well, say quality centres. We've got these... Percival should be centre and Callum Watkins. So Zach Hardacre's not a better centre than them two. So why do we put Hardacre in the centre? Why are we leaving two centres out who are natural
centres? You could have six games to play and you might need all of the best players you can get on that plane and then worry about how you fit them in. What about Joe Burgess? Going back to the cup final... Is he good enough to play for England?
He's good enough, yeah, if he gets the right service.
What do you think about his kick inside?
That's a shocker.
It's a bit low on confidence.
Yeah, late on in the game, and you're building some momentum. He scored a try, he's got the confidence. You're on the second tackle.
Mm. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, it's a shocker.
But Wigan do that quite a lot, having watched him this year.
But that's the World Cup semi-final, and you're playing New Zealand, and you've 2 minutes to go, and you're 4 points behind. You don't want your winger to do that.
Well, would any winger do it?
I don't know. I'm just saying that to me, he looks a little bit lacking in confidence.
Yeah,
Phil,
we're talking about confidence in wingers here. Why has Bisco played all season then? He's had no confidence, still got selected.
I don't think he's going to get picked for the World Cup.
Well, he's not, but still, we're talking about confidence here and what have you.
But
you know
I'm saying
Burgess
is in line as one of the people who might be considered. I just thought that was at that time in the game.
Yeah, I agree.
You have to have more awareness of what's left on the clock.
Because you know what?
You've got to tell your teammates you're doing it so that they've got to chase through.
But also as well, when you watched it, he had a bit of space to go on before he even kicked it.
And that's what I'm saying, on the second tackle, as a winger, the worst you should do is come in field and get tackled.
Will he be selected? Debatable.
I think he might have played his way out of contention on the way he played in the cup final.
But who knows with Wayne Bennett? Who knows? You know, first the question is going to be, hopefully Nigel might tell us next week, is that how many Australians is he going to pick for the England squad?
Don't think there's going to be many.
I hope there's none. I don't want any.
Would you ask Gareth Ellis, now he's quit, to play in the World Cup?
I don't think he ever retired from international football. I think he wasn't selected. And it was decided that because he hadn't been selected in 2013, that was his career over. I don't think he has ever said... In fact, he said, I never said I retired. I just didn't get chosen. I'd love him to. I just think he brings more than his individual skill. And when he came back on again, you just knew Hull were going to win that game. He's just rock solid. He brings the best out of the people around him. I can imagine he's one of the most inspiring people to hear talk before you go out. Certainly when you come in at half-time. He's got everything for me. I'd love to see him play in the world. And he's one of the few players that the Aussies genuinely fear.
Mm.
So all the more reason again to have him involved.
very good.
And he can see, he missed a lot of this season, didn't he, with injury, so I would suspect physically he's in better condition than a lot of players who will be selected.
Do you think if Gareth was, if anybody gave him the phone call and says, Gareth, you're in the World Cup squad, are you available, what do you think he'd say? Yes,
I think he'd play.
Yeah.
I
think that would be a fitting swan song for his career.
Available. Yeah. Right, well, listen, the scenario he is for us for the World Cup, it's quite simple in my mind here, right? It's quite simple. The forward pack, we don't have an issue. Our England forward pack, and I say, all right, we don't have a Cameron Smith because Cameron Smith is a freak. You know, we don't have that. But our forward pack will not get intimidated by New Zealand or Australia, right? Our outside backs from full-back wingers and centres, if they are given opportunities, try scoring opportunities, if we let our half-backs play and play what they see. And I say the half-back partnership will be Widdop and Luke Gayle. There's no two ways about that. And when you look at the wingers, what we've got, the full-back
Williams off the bench.
George Williams will be on the bench. There's no doubt about that. But if Wayne Bennett lets us play with that vision and awareness, as I keep going about, and play what we see, and let players express themselves a little bit more, you know, I don't have an issue with that, but... The fact is Wayne Bennett going to play the boring type of rugby league, patient rugby league, what ain't going to do us any good? It's not going to do us any good whatsoever. Let the players go out there and play with a bit of freedom. That's all I'm asking.
We have got a really tough group to get out of in the first instance.
France or Lebanon?
Don't underestimate Lebanon, because we're playing Lebanon having played Australia. We'll be a bit battered having played Australia in the first game. Lebanon are setting up the England game. Their second game.
Wait, who have
in
they got?
Sydney.
Who have they got?
Well, Robbie Farah.
Yeah, one.
Tim Manor. Michael Leach.
Okay, how's Robbie Farah?
I know Fittler's going to be the coach. Phil, Lebanon,
they've got five top-line NRL players.
Phil, Lebanon won't cause us any problems.
No,
France won't cause
they
any problems. You know, well, they won't cause any problems whatsoever.
This is Brian Clough calling the goalkeeper a clown. This is our moment now.
I'm just saying, don't underestimate Lebanon. They will have a passionate crowd in Sydney, all backing them. The stadium will be full of Lebanese. That's why that game has been taken to Sydney. Mm. It won't be easy. It wasn't easy playing in Papua New Guinea when you played. It'll be that kind of intimidating atmosphere. It isn't necessarily about the quality of the players you're playing. They'll be lifted by the fact that this is the biggest game they will ever have played in. And it's worked out well for them that they get France first, who they could catch a little bit cold, and England second. So I'm just saying, don't underestimate them, and it might need some Wayne Bennett tactics like he played against Samoa, where there is a bit of softening up to start with, and then you allow your team to play. The only slight worry I've got at the moment about the England team is that some of the NRL players who we rely on, the likes of Sam Burgess and James Graham, are playing in teams that aren't doing particularly well at the moment.
They're not playing that well themselves.
No.
But I tell you what, though. One thing
I know a World Cup will bring that out of them, but I'd wish they were just playing a little bit better.
But you know what?
It's
quite simple here for me, right? If Jonathan Thurston was in the England side, we win the World Cup. Simple as that, because Jonathan Thurston would not be told, you can't do this, you can't do that. If we had Jonathan Thurston playing for us, because he would be allowed to play exactly how he wants to play from a point of view where playing what he sees and without vision awareness, we would win the World Cup.
If Jonathan Thurston played for Brisbane, he'd be allowed to do the same thing under Wayne Bennett.
I agree.
It's just that we don't have an equivalent to Jonathan Thurston.
Yeah, but we have players who want to express it. Luke Gayle, when we saw him last year in the Four Nations, you felt sorry for
him. But I think that was partly to do with Luke Gayle experiencing international rugby league for the first time. And
not to do with him being played out of position.
No, I think
then,
some
Phil.
Of it is to do with the fact that you just haven't played at that level, but you need to have some games under your belt.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
the
most marked man in Super League, and he turns up week in, week out.
When you started playing international rugby, are there some players that need to go up a level to play a few games to realise that this isn't Super League?
Oh, well, obviously,
and
yeah,
actually,
you're a completely different player. But you need to be allowed to play what's got you there in the first place. And Luke Gayle hasn't been allowed that yet, has he?
Well,
no,
he wasn't allowed to do that. And
I think he'd be a much, much better player played.
He'd be a much, much better player if they play him in the right spot.
Well, even if they don't, he'll be a better player for the experience of being in an international setup.
So we're playing Lomax instead of Hardacre, and now we're playing Luke Gayle out of prison. I'll tell you what, don't bother going. It's cancelled. We're not going.
Where?
It's off. The World Cup's off.
No, it's not. I'm going for 6 weeks.
Come on, Phil. He's got to show the competition some respect play the players where they should play.
I think you'll find that when this competition is over, we'll be saying Wayne Bennett got us to the World Cup final. Not saying we can win it, but I think we can get to the final.
Playing the right way or playing
under whichever way Wayne Bennett wants to play.
I tell you what,
I think we have to invest in
him. If Darryl Powell were a coach, you might be saying England might have won the World Cup, Phil.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But I'm just
he's not going to be the Messiah, you know, just because he gets to the final.
I think he knows what it takes. The work that he did with New Zealand when they won it in 2008 is something that we will benefit from.
That was only because Lockie didn't put the ball down and Billy Slater silly passed, to be honest with you. You know.
Yeah,
and,
but he got them to a final, and that was the start of New Zealand becoming the... Don't forget, we're the third-ranked nation at the moment.
How many mess-ups has there been for England? McNamara nearly got them to the Four Nations final.
And that was Sir Kev.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin,
we have dropped from being the second-ranked nation to the third-ranked nation, even though we've had all of this Sport England funding. I think Wayne Bennett can get us back to second. Whether Darryl Powell can then take us to
first? Are we going to be having this for the next 6 weeks? Because if we are, you might be getting replaced.
Just saying. Don't rule out what Wayne Bennett can do for England. And it's not going to change anyway. So it's not going to be Darryl Powell in the interim, so let's get behind him.
No. If Nigel's in next week, we're going to be... might lock him in that cupboard, score, and have a word with him. What do you reckon?
Well, I have not seen a big enough cupboard here yet, to be honest.
Oh, come on, that's a bit hard.
Well, to
get you in, you mean?
Well, which cupboard are you going to put him in? Have you found one yet in here?
Come on, that's me.
Banned.
He's banned.
Gary Carter says, the second half versus Samoa was a breakthrough for Gale. I'm trying to remember. It seems so long ago, all that.
Well, it was behind a paywall, you probably haven't seen
it. Didn't see it.
Yeah,
listen to the radio, it was good.
Elsewhere. Apparently it is. Totally off topic, says Rachel, but I just wanted to say a massive thank you to Castlewood Tigers. They held an open afternoon today for all the fans to go and watch the lads training, photos with the trophy, and a chance to meet and chat with all the players. Such a brilliant afternoon, which showed just again what an amazing family orientated club it is.
That is great marketing, isn't it? Isn't that what it's all about? Great marketing. And they say Castlewood with a success, all right, this year, and people are still going on. Why are they celebrating? Because it's been a huge achievement. 91 years since they finished the top. But this is great marketing. And now, as we all know from years gone by now, but it's a new audience. It's attracting kids and all this sort of thing. And from a point of view where, as we all know, we face paint and all this sort of thing and bouncer castles, which one in our day.
Mascots.
Exactly. This is where they want to attract it. And well done to Castlewood. Great marketing.
Yeah, really full the stand. I've seen a picture put on social media.
Brilliant. Well done.
I did enjoy the mascots lining up alongside the teams at Wembley on Saturday. I thought he felt like we had
to shake their hand. Give him some advice. Go up down that touchline as if you're the only mascot in town.
I'd love to know what he said. He was having proper conversations.
You very nearly. They mic'd up Lee Radford and they've released some of that. And you very nearly hear what Ellery says to Lee because they're very close. But what Lee does is thank him profusely for what he's saying. So something that Ellery said has really made Lee's chest swell up with pride. And I suspect he does that with players when he speaks to them.
Mm. Why don't we use him more than to speak to?
Well, there's an irony, isn't there? Because when he was in a position where we really could have used him, like captain and or coach of Great Britain, he wouldn't speak to anybody.
Oh, well. Like Wayne Bennett, but you love him, don't you?
Could he go speak to the players now, though? Not to us. I mean, we're irrelevant now. We just sit here and...
Ellery back as Great Britain coach.
Yeah.
Move on.
Scotty's
not as enthusiastic as that.
No, certainly part of the management team. Without a doubt. Yeah, part of the management. He should be involved in the game.
Give out the England shirts before one of the World Cup games.
Without a doubt. And do you know what as well? When I looked at the League Express, right, and Laurie Dale, unfortunately, has lost his job at New South Wales. But you have a look there, you know, and who's good, look at their consultants, you know. Laurie Dale, he'll still be, if they want his advice, they'll get his advice there. Phil Gould's going to be a consultant, Andrew Johns, Fittler's going to be the coach, and Peter Sterling's on the consultancy there. In the room where I was the other day, and we was part of the Great Britain team, but was pretty close to the Aussies in the 80s and 90s. Myself, Edwards, the Pearl, Afire and Crooks. Not one of us get asked our experience and our advice about the international setup from there. I'm not saying Darryl would, because Darryl Powell's going to be the next England coach or Great Britain coach, whichever it's going to be from there. But if all he needs to do is ask, and we would be there to give any sort of experience and any open advice. The Aussies do it right. What do we do? No, you're all dinosaurs. You don't know what's going on from there, so you ain't going to get asked. It's pathetic.
The immortal Gary Schofield, though.
Mmm.
Oh, well, it is. You know, the Aussies buy on their experience. Yeah. The Aussies buy on their experience.
I say it all the time, when you turn on the TV and you watch the NRL coverage, you look at the people they've got in the studio and you compare it to the people over here, and it's like night and day.
But even Queensland, who've been so dominant, Mal Meninga sets up a dynasty that Kevin Walters then takes over. Alan Langer's involved in it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
It's not rocket science.
It's not rocket science, you know, one little bit, you know, and one bit for sure, you know, we all know how to, you know, wind people up, but also, too, we all know just to have a little quiet one, you know, because, as I say, you know, my late dad, you know, and he quite simply said to me, you know, listen, son, all advice I'm going to give you here, don't you worry about them, let them worry about you. And my advice certainly would be to Luke Gale and to Widdop, and also to George Wooden, would be quite simple. Hey, listen, if it's out there and if it's on, go for it. Go for it. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what he's saying in the stands. If you've got the confidence, because it will come off. It may not come off the first time, maybe the second time. But if you've got the confidence from there, the communication with your centre or your back rower, you go for it and play what you see. That's my little tip to them. Have that confidence to back your own ability, because all it takes one piece of genius to win any World Cup semi-finals or Cup finals.
Again, defence of Wayne Bennett. Going back to the way Tony Milford's playing for Brisbane at the moment. He's not shackling him in any way whatsoever. Well, yeah, he's one of the most exciting players.
But why is he shackling Luke Gale and Gareth Widdop?
Maybe he's just giving Luke Gale the opportunity to realise what it's like at the top level and how you've got to decide when and where. It's not the same as playing for Castleford. You're going to get much more opportunities playing for Castleford in Super League than you are at the international level. You're playing against a higher calibre of defence.
Why did he play him out of position then, Phil?
Maybe he just felt that he needed to ease him into the international run. You'd have to ask him.
So he's chucked him under a bus, basically. Never mind, Luke, you've just been best player in the competition, or near enough best player in your position for the last 2 years, but actually what I'm going to do, I'm going to make life really hard for you.
Maybe he sees at international level that you have to be more than just being able to do one thing in one position. I don't know, you'll have to ask him, but I think the way you look at the way his Brisbane team is playing at the moment, there are players in there with vision and awareness who are allowed to play, and you would hope that if he feels that the England players he's got are of similar skill sets and have experience at the top level, the best thing for Luke Gale will be to win a grand final and be the man of the match in it, and then there's no question.
I'm going to sense
he hasn't done that yet.
I'm getting a sense here. You don't think Luke Gale's good enough to handle international rugby?
No, I think he's going to be. But I don't think you go from merely playing for a Castleford team that hadn't at that stage won anything to being a guy that could bring you home the World Cup. I think there is a progression. I think he's on that step to get to where we need him to be in the World Cup. But what Castleford need to do is win a semi-final under pressure, win the grand final under pressure, for Luke Gale to do what Mark Snead did at Wembley, and he's much more the finished article.
Hold on, who would you rather have, Mark Snead or Luke Gale? He needs to do what Mark Snead has done.
Right, hold on.
I think Phil's sulking because I made that comment about Leeds earlier.
Hold on here then. Right. Mark Snead is allowed to play how he wants to play from a coach in Radford. Luke Gale...
Because he's got Albert Kelly.
Luke Gale is allowed to play at Castleford because he's allowed to have freedom and expression. The question is, will Wayne Bennett let him play how he plays for Castleford?
I think when Castleford have won a semi-final and the grand
final... What's that got to do with it?
Because I think that proves that you can play at the very highest level and win. I think to win the World Cup, we need a team full of winners. Why would we bring Gareth Ellis back? Why would we plead with him to be part of the 24? Because he's an out-and-out winner.
Well, I wasn't a winner, but I still played 46 times for Great Britain. I never won anything.
As you just said, you were as close to beating an Australian team in a series as it's almost... You won a game in Melbourne that will go down as one of Great Britain's finest ever victories. I think that qualifies you. But that's doing it at the highest level. What we couldn't do in...
So, hold on, are we not picking Matt Meakin then? Because he's never done it at the highest level.
I think he'll come into consideration, but if Castleford win the grand final, McMeekin's in that team, he's strengthening his right to be in that 24. We want 24 players going to Australia, New Zealand, who are winners. And the more we can take the more we've got chance of winning the World Cup.
Here, then. How many players from the lead squad will get in this World Cup then?
Probably Watkins and Hall.
Is Watkins getting selected as a reputation alone, or because he's a winner?
Well, part of your reputation is being a winner. And he has got the form on the board.
Also, we're picking on reputation now.
No.
That's why the Warrington players will get it.
No, I didn't. He's a proven winner. He's won.
I've seen him wreck about two tackles in 12 months, I think.
I think he's the kind of player that the Aussies fear, that he's big and strong and he's got footwork and he can defend. And
if he played at Castleford, he'd have probably had 40 tries this season.
Shut him right all.
You would absolutely take
Briscoe might have scored 20 tries if I caught half the passes, so you know he might have scored 20 tries, but he playing there. But anyway, but it's an interesting one. But I just get idea here, Phil, that you don't rate Luke Gale.
I think we've got three players vying for two positions. I think you're right, Gareth Widdop will be one of them.
Oh, Widdop will be stand up.
So then you're looking at Gale and Williams.
George is not scrum half, so he won't play sevens.
And at the moment,
he can't play too close to the ruck area because he's non-existent.
No, if Luke Gale finishes the job that he started this year and possibly will be the man of steel as well, he will start with Widdop.
He'll be the Albert Goldthorpe winner. He'll be the man of steel winner. Hopefully for Castleford supporters,
we want Leeds
to win the grand final. But if he wins the Harry Sunderland, you're still not convinced.
No, I'm absolutely convinced. If he's done that, he's played his way into the team.
Right then. So playing the right way, but when will Bennett let him play?
You get hammered on social media, Phil, and rightly so. Honestly, I've never heard. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. I can't believe it.
I'm telling you, what Phil Kaplan is saying here, I'm saying it here. Phil Kaplan does not rate Luke Gale as an international.
I have never said that.
No, but this is the thing I've said.
We need to take 24 winners, and we need him to complete the job this year.
24 winners, one of which shouldn't be Sam Tompkins.
But he may have played himself out of contention with this Wembley performance because he didn't dominate. No. But again, he's the sort of person that would come into contention for Wayne Bennett because he knows that at the highest level he's done it before and he can do it. Whether he's doing it at the moment is the issue, and he isn't, so he wouldn't be in the squad. There are other fullbacks that would. Time.
You know, if we bought a Formula One team, Phil, right, and they give us all the bits for the car, and they go, look, all the bits are there, fellas. All you've got to do is put it together in the right way, and you'll be able to race in Formula One and win because you've got the fastest. We're giving you the fastest car, but it's in bits at the minute. You're going to put it together in a certain order, and a certain order is you put the steering wheel where the steering wheel goes, you put the wheels where they go, and the engine where it goes. You don't just chuck it up in the air and hope it lands together. And that's what Bennett did. Wayne Bennett, everyone tells me he's this great coach, and his record says he is a great coach. He was a great coach. But how many Super League games has he watched?
But he's got all these minions here to do that for him.
No, the World Cup. It's laughable. It's laughable. And to play people out of position, Phil, is. And then you're saying, well, he might not be good enough, he might be better for the experience. He'd have been better if he'd have been played in the right place, and we had three games, and he played three different half-back partnerships. What a load of rubbish!
I think he was looking at the options. His only brief wasn't to win the Four Nations last year, it's to try and win the World Cup. He had four games to see the ability of the people that he had in this competition. So why wouldn't you mix and match the combinations? And did we or did we not have a decent game against Samoa in the one warm-up game that we've got? Could have been a tricky assignment, going all the way over to Sydney, playing a team that was very, very big and physical. And in the second half, we dominated them.
So you're going
back to the Four Nations. I'm saying it's a progression, and look at the game against Samoa.
Did we get any progression, realistically, in the Four Nations? Did we get any?
No, it took us to the Samoa game, where we looked like a team that could get to the World Cup final.
So it's going got me.
We've got to win one game more than they've won in the last three. That's sort of one game. Mm. So to win that one game, pick your best players and put them in the best positions, we might have a chance.
The problem is, and because this is what Phil's been saying, he's talking about the Samoa game, we don't play enough.
We don't play enough.
We played one
and
game.
And it goes back again to whatever the rights and wrongs of this ridiculous camp that has derailed the whole season. That part of the thinking behind that was Wayne Bennett saying, We needed to prepare better and have more time together as a squad for the World Cup. And what do you want? Do you want your Super League competition to run 30 weeks, or do you want me to win the World Cup? I'm going to throw a spanner in there saying I need some more time to bring these players
together.
Here's
a thought, then. Pick a coach who lives in the same continent as the players.
That's one for Nigel.
Oh.
Because
I can't believe it. Have you been drinking?
I do think that Wayne Bennett is the right coach at the moment to take us to the World Cup.
So do I. So do I. So do I. If he lives in our country. Yeah? And if he's going to be the coach for the next World
Cup. World's changed. You don't need to live in this country to see the games, to be advised by people who are here seeing players week in, week out.
And do you know what?
You've spoken to people involved in it. We're not going to name names. Yeah. They're not having this, are they? They're not having it. And they're involved in the setup.
No, they're not having it. There's no.
We were told last year, players not happy with how they're being managed super coach Wayne Bennett.
There's no buzz about him, I can reassure you. But also as well, Wayne Bennett, after the Four Nations, what's he come up with? We haven't got any strike players on the edges, so what does he do? Pick Ayrton at 35 and somebody else who ain't going to play International Rugby League. There you go.
Do you think Scott Taylor's playing better at the moment because he had an experience of going over for the Samoa game, but he wasn't included? Do you think that refocused him, and with the Scott Taylor we're now seeing now...
I think Scott Taylor deserved to be selected anyway. Sorry, Alex Walsh.
They now know exactly what they need to do to be part of this 24-man squad, and we're seeing them. Walmsley and Taylor have played particularly well since that Samoa experience.
I think they were playing
well.
Walmsley's
been playing well anyway. Liam Watts has been outstanding for two and a half years. Had a look in. Mm. Taylor, outstanding. Playing for his hometown club. Pride to wear that shirt. He's one of our own, this thing. That's why he's playing well, because he loves where he's playing.
But he's also a winner now.
He wasn't a winner last year, but he was still playing well then.
Well, he won a Challenge Cup with Wigan and Hull.
Well, not at the start of last year.
I think he's playing better than I've seen him play. And I think part of that is going to Sydney, seeing what Wayne Bennett, whoever it is, wants from his team. Asking why he hasn't been selected, even though he's been taken all the way over there, being given some... Mark Percival is another one who was taken all the way over there and didn't play, and apparently got some tips from the way he was training and his attitude while he was out there. He's come back and been a fantastic player for St Helens ever since.
Let's call a spade, he got dropped because apparently, as you just said, he wasn't performing in camp. So said,
which we don't see. We pass judgment from the outside, not the inside. I'm saying that
coaches in that squad. Well, it's the emperor's new clothes, Phil.
I'm prepared to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, you know what? If England win now, all I'm going to get is.
But we want England to win.
We want England to win.
I think he knows how to win a World Cup. And I think he's proved that with two different nations. I think that if we get to the final, that is progression. If then it means somebody else takes over, fine. I don't have a problem with that at all. But I think there are certain things he's putting in place that we saw with the improved performance against the second half against Samoa that give us the tools to do the job.
Just think, if we won the World Cup, the extra 10 seconds we get on Sports Personality of the Year, it'll be all worth it.
Team of the Year.
Phil, you're getting annihilated on social. Huh? Absolutely annihilated.
But isn't this what this programme's about?
It is,
opinion.
My friend. It is. I love it. I love it. We're going to retake the picture, though. It won't be Scott throttling. It'll be me.
All the three of us. We love it. Listen, I'm having next week off.
I've got high blood pressure.
We all love Phil, don't we, about that? We all love Phil.
I think there's a cogent argument for Wayne Bennett. There it was. You don't have to agree with it.
My only beef with Wayne Bennett, seriously, right? Well, two. I wish he was here doing it, not full time, but paying more attention.
But that's not his fault. That's our fault.
I get that.
Because we've only appointed him part time.
I would rather knowing he's going to be here for the next one. If he was, then I'm like you. Go on then. You've got 5 years in effect.
Have we as a sport even broached that with him? Does the fault lie with him? Or does it lie with the people that don't have a succession plan for him?
Well, we'll let you ask
that's
that
question another one for Nigel, isn't it?
I don't really think it's the RFL telling him what the plan is. It's Wayne's way. Don't worry about that.
But they've invited him in.
Yeah, it's him saying not A, B, C, and D. It's right up to Z, to be honest
with
you.
Should Nigel Wood be saying to Wayne Bennett at the moment, we need to know what your. Not only we need to know what your plans are, but we are prepared to perhaps look at extending your contract if you do X, Y, and Z?
I don't think they should even be considering. whatever we do in the World Cup, I hope we do win it. But whatever we do in the
World
Cup,
would you keep him on if we won it?
No.
We've got to move on. There's a baying mob walking down Ellen Road with pitchforks and burning effigies of Phil Cappie.
I wouldn't keep him on. I'd say, Wayne, thanks very much, but we're moving on. And I'll say, we will take it from here. We'll do it the British way. And as I said, Darryl Powell as the head coach, and he picks his own coaching staff there, and with me as a team manager. There we go.
Even my belt's not working now.
No!
Blame Wayne Bennett! It's not working. Oh.
Now a new feature called In Defence of Sam Tompkins. Gary Carter's been gone. Was it just me who saw three try-saving tackles from Sam Tompkins on Saturday? Gary's got better eyesight than I have.
Can I make an observation? I didn't see all those try-saving tackles. I think Sam Tompkins now is a better fullback than when he left. He's not the same electric runner that we had before he got injured. Mm. But I actually think he's a better all-round player in terms of his
field position's far better now.
Yeah,
because
I agree with that.
Because what he's doing, because he's lost that bit of pace with injuries, but what he's doing is putting himself in position earlier because he knows he hasn't got that electric pace over the first 5 or 10 metres.
Yeah.
So he's anticipating something's happening, so he's putting himself in position early, so that's how he's getting away with it. Which is great player. Great player.
Yeah. I continue to think the problem with Sam Tompkins and the perception of Sam Tompkins is the fact that certain aspects of the rugby league media hail him as the next greatest thing in rugby league, and he's not that, but he's not a bad player, and people don't like the hype of him and take it the wrong way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's why he's always on the telly. But nothing against you, Sam.
No, look, I've just said I think he's a better, and if you ask me to name me fullbacks, both him and Hardacre would be a million miles in front of Johnny Lawrence.
So you're picking before Shaw, would you? Lomax. I'd pick Shaw before Lomax. If we're taking three fullbacks, it's got to be Shaw, Tompkins, and Hardacre.
Yeah,
for me. Why do we need three fullbacks?
We don't have to take three.
I don't think we'll take three.
Are we taking Mark Snead, or is he not going? Big game player?
Well, according to Phil's rules, he's now a winner. He'll be in.
Kicking game, you wouldn't rule him out. Why wouldn't you want him in contention for the 24? Isn't it about creating a reservoir of 40 players and we need to distill that down to 24 rather than we've only got 24 players, they're the only ones we can take?
I think, and this is my observation...
I'm not sure Mark Snead has the big enough...
Two, and there's not enough in the middle.
And that's the issue at international level.
Yeah.
But yes, after the way he played at Wembley, you would consider him. But he may not get in because he'll be in a position where there are people that can do more than he can.
I tell you, International Rugby League is all about creativity, and you need some special players to come up with special players to break these defensive down. That's what international sport is all about, creativity, and making sure you have got that extra bit of quality for players to show what they can do on the big stage from there, but let them express themselves.
But it's also about
what
playing
that difference.
A six-game tournament. You're going to have to use the bulk of your squad. And it is about, yes, you'll have an idea of who your top 13 is.
I'm not so sure you have to be
honest. But you need to take other players. If you get an injury to one of your few key players that are world class...
Well, if that happens, that happens.
Yeah, yeah, so you've got to cover for every eventuality.
I'm not into changing just for giving a player a game, to be honest with you. No, I'm not.
Tompkins or Hardacre? Who plays at fullback for England? We're getting asked on social media.
Hardacre goes into the... He is absolutely essential to that England squad. 100%.
Who's going to play at fullback, Phil? That was the question I asked you.
I want to see how the rest of the season goes. I think he's still going to play Hardacre at centre.
He's winding me up.
I'm not having it, Phil.
He is going to play Hardacre at centre.
Why?
Because he's shown his hand in the surrounding.
He sees Hardacre
as a centre. I'm not saying I do. You ask me who you think would play
fullback.
Zach Hardacre, even though he likes British Bake Off, it's Zach Hardacre.
Yeah, he likes what?
He was tweeted earlier. Can't wait for British Bake Off to be back on.
Off
the streets.
definitely a centre. Then
I can't believe 2 hours has gone by so quickly.
Well, let's do another hour.
One game.
Let's do another hour.
I
can't guarantee your safety, Phil. I'm sorry.
Well, after Dan. After Dan.
Lots of our listeners, by the way, looking forward to Sunday's game between Feathers and Hull KR. Obviously, Hull KR can make it 4-4.
They could.
Yeah, looking forward to himself.
Right, all right, we've got three live games. Leeds Hull, Salford Wake, Featherstone, Hull KR, all live on Radio Yorkshire this weekend. More rugby than anyone else. Right, let's start off. Leeds Hull, who's going to win? Scott, we're going to have to be pretty quick here, fella.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Obviously, Leeds have had the break off Hull with the emotion from there, but still, Hull, you know, they want to make sure that they made that top four, but you just feel as though Leeds looking to put a marker down to cement that top four spot. I'm going for Leeds by 8.
Leeds will virtually clinch a top two spot if they win this game, so I think having the time off means more at this stage of the season. They'll just nick it, but Hull will be... I think that it's the psychological side, not the physical, and I think they can stay in it for most of the game, but Leeds will just nick it.
Yeah, Leeds are better than Wigan, aren't they? So I'll go with Leeds narrowly.
I'm going to go Hull.
Mate, you would
I
do,
was tempted.
You would
tempted.
Do, wouldn't you? You would do.
No, I've seen Leeds win at Wembley and put up some heroic showings the week after. Or play at Wembley and put up some heroic showings.
But not win. That's the thing.
Right. Well... Right. I tell you what, if Leeds play like they did against St Helens, all will beat them, even if they're still in the pub on Thursday morning. Salford Wakefield.
I thought Leeds won that game.
Yeah, that's because Johnny Lomax was playing.
Salford Wakefield, well, well, for mine, you know, the Salford wheels, as I mentioned, they're not punctured, they're falling off, they're gone, you know, and Wakefield, the death is in their own hands. 4 consecutive performances, that's all they need. That's all they need, and I'm going Wakefield to do Salford by 10.
Yeah, I think Wakefield will win. I think they'll reassess their season after the break, and this is where John Keir comes into his own, and Wakefield will win.
Oh, good. Chris Chester's the head coach, Phil.
Move on, Rich.
Wakefield.
Good man. Yeah, full house, I think. Saints Wigan, Friday night.
Yeah, again, you know, it's Wigan with the emotion from Wembley. St Helens looking to get back themselves after 2 defeats. If Richardson plays, it's for mine. At St Helens, I'm going Saints by 14.
Barber will be the inspiration for them, and Saints will win. And I think we probably are looking at Wigan's season having ended last Saturday.
Rich?
Saints.
Yeah, Saints for me. What else have we got?
Huddersfield Cass. I think this will be a very, very open game from there. And they say the Giants, they're playing with plenty of smiles on the face. The Casford Tigers, yeah, they want to make sure they keep going. And Luke Gayle, to show everybody that he's a quality halfback, what he is, the international halfback, he'll have a big influence. I'm going the Tigers by 14.
Yeah, I think the Castleford will just get up. But this is Huddersfield's last chance to stay in the race. We keep writing them off and saying, oh, yeah, they're, what, 3 points off the top four? This is a massive game for Huddersfield, and if they can play like they did against Hull, they've still got some say in the season. But I do think that listening to Cass after they'd won the League Leaders' Shield, they are not going to take these 4 games easily. So I think they'll just nick it.
Got to be Cass, aren't they?
Okay, I'll go Cass narrowly. London take on the Wolves. We'll move on from that. The big one Sunday is live on Radio Yorkshire. Fev, Hull KR. Hull KR within touching distance now. But I'll tell you what, if Fev can get a win, they're in with a shout of the £1 million game.
Yeah, they are, and they say Duffy now has had a couple of weeks with his team from there, and they say the rest period from there. So they won't make it easy for the Rovers, but you just feel as though Keith's Rovers with the quality what they've got, they know exactly what they have to do, and I say to avoid the £1 million game, I can't see them blowing it. I'm going Hull KR by 12.
Hull Kingston Rovers haven't won convincingly yet in the eights, but they've done in every game enough to get them by, and I think it'll be the same story in this one.
Yeah, Barnley, I'm going to go with Rovers.
Okay. Which one?
Oh, yeah. One of them.
Draw.
Dodge.
And the other game I want to have a look at, Halifax Catalans.
Catalans are rubbish, and I say for mine, Halifax, they've played pretty well, even though they've not won a game, but they have played pretty well for me. There's going to be an upset in this game, and I say the Catalans, the players, could care less about the jersey, could care less about the club, they all want out. Halifax for mine, I'm going Halifax by 10.
Catalan have been at high altitude training, apparently.
Who have?
Catalan.
What for?
The shares are behind.
Idea. What for?
But they
Who's going to win?
They think it's going to help them. I think Catalan will just do it. Full-time will beat part.
Well, is it going to help them catch pass tackle and support
apparently
and show a bit
apparently
of desire
so.
And commitment, is it?
Absolutely.
Pathetic.
Phil?
Sorry,
Rick. Catalans.
I'm going to go Halifax. I think the week Halifax, off might just rejuvenate. Yeah, I'm with Scully here. Another one, and it is actually a big game, given results that have gone by, is Lee Widnes. We have got to be quick.
Yeah, big game. And I say, the St. Johns all, if they play exactly like they did against Catalans, discipline, they keep the discipline. And I say the game plan that they came against Catalans pretty good. I'm going the Centurions by 10.
Yeah, I think the manner of the result in Catalan has rejuvenated Lee, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won this game.
Yeah.
Lee, and apologies that we didn't talk about New York, and I said we would, but we don't really know what the plan is anyway.
No. All right, I'll go Lee as well. That is pretty much it done. Remember, you can watch The Last Tackle. It was out at the weekend. Tom did a great job on that. Rich and Phil on that one. All the interviews with all the big stars from the weekend. The Last Tackle is out now. If you want to have a look at that, please do. We've got three live games. Leeds Hull on Thursday, Salford Wakey on Friday, and Featherstone Hull Care on Sunday. Hopefully we'll all be back next week. We're all, we're going to find a big cupboard and thrash it out. Hopefully Nigel here next week as well. You never know.
Interesting. Looking forward to that one.
You never know. Phil, thank you as always.
That's provoking debate. That's why we're here.
Richard, thank you as ever. Scully, the legend.
Hold on. I've just heard a big screech. It's Luke Gayle outside. Luke Gayle's turned up. Don't you rate me as an international player. Luke, we'll have it out in 30 seconds.
Very good. Thanks to everyone that's interacted. I know we had a couple of Facebook issues. You can watch radioyorkshire.co.uk. You can download the app. And you can download the podcast. Record numbers last week. We'll see you next Monday.